Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by that.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking now, go on, think.
No,
is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that, too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right. Life doesn't get any better if you're a Patriots fan. Patriots win. Colts lose. Jets lose. I am loving life.
Chargers lose, if you care about such things.
I don't really care. I picked the Kansas City Chiefs, didn't I?
No, but I'm just talking about... Well, I don't know who you picked, to be honest with you. I'm just talking about the Patriots, specific to the Patriots, not your picks.
No, absolutely.
I think the Chargers losing is a big deal, too.
But I don't have the hatred for the Chargers that I do for the Jets and the Colts, and... Wow, what a weekend.
Yeah.
Monday night, great game if you love defense.
The Colts suck.
But right off the top, of course, we're going to talk about the Patriots taking care of the Cincinnati Bengals, a playoff team last year. Not sure if that's going to be the case this year. But anyway, it was a great start to the season for the Patriots. Fred's here. Paul's here. Andy left. He ran out of here saying you had to do something.
I think he forgot about
and it wasn't bathroom related.
I think he forgot about something that he had to do. I don't know what it was.
Okay. And, of course, Eric, it's his Tuesday day off.
Right. So. He was here yesterday.
He was.
Leave him alone.
Yeah, for a little bit he was here.
He was only here for a little bit,
He came in late.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was here all day.
I'm not doing it with you.
All right. So another edition of PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482, webradio@patriots.com. is the email address. We just got done filming our second episode of CSN and an EEE.
I thought you were calling it CSI New England.
Could maybe
CSI Foxborough.
Yeah, Patriots Football Weekly. And I think this show's going to be better than the last show.
I'm happy with it.
We have
it.
More to talk about.
And after seeing the show, having a little bit better idea of what they want from us,
right.
I think we were all a little bit more on point today.
They asked me to take my shirt off today.
I was a little uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That made me uncomfortable.
So I guess that's what they want from us. I don't know. Anyway, so that'll be on Thursday night at 7:30 on CSN and EEE. I guess they got blacked out in certain areas.
Yeah,
of the
did
country.
You ask anybody at Comcast about that?
We'll see them later.
In the afternoon we'll try to do it. Evidently, there's three shows on Thursday nights, all locally produced.
Right.
And two of them get blacked out, one of them doesn't. Is that correct?
Right. Current show does not get blacked out.
And ironically, the one that's the highest rated
is ours.
Is ours.
That's right.
At least after week one.
All right. So, Paul,
let's move on to this game.
We were all pleasantly surprised at the ease in which the Patriots won this game.
Yeah. Nothing surprised
me. You gave the nod like 10 minutes in.
There's like smoke billowing in the...
Oh, my God. There's smoke in the...
Are we in any personal danger?
No. Okay. Oh, they're soldering. That's okay. What they're soldering.
That's always good when you have a brand new board. Yeah. Anyway, not surprised at all about anything that I saw offensively. But defensively, Freddie, eye-opening how well they played. The first five series went punt, punt, fumble, punt, interception, return for a touchdown.
Yep.
You made a point during the game, and you were right. Some of that had to do with Cincinnati.
Sure.
They had some open guys that they missed, some drop passes. Carson Palmer, I thought, was terrible coming out of the gate.
Boy, he's really taken a downturn in his career. Huh?
And he did not look good in this game in any way other than statistically. But the Patriots defense, I was very impressed with how they ran to the football.
Speed.
How they covered. Even the passes that were complete were tightly contested.
Yep.
They didn't get much pressure, although they did get a big sack early in the game, a big sack. Andy's not here. I'll giggle for myself.
Yeah.
They didn't really get – I mean, I think Palmer threw the ball 54 times. They had like 55 dropbacks and only had one sack, and I don't recall too many hits in the game. So that wasn't great, but the secondary, I thought, played tremendous. The front seven, Fred, and I can't name them. They changed at every play.
Yep.
Was outstanding on the run.
Yeah, that's
that might be the most surprising thing is how well they shut down Cedric Benson.
We identified that at the beginning of the game. We wanted to come out of this game saying, well, they've returned to their stoutness against the run, and they certainly did. Now, again, it's one game. We don't know who Cincinnati is yet. You know, at the end of the season, you guys make fun of me. We'll be able to judge how good this win was down the road when we actually find out how good Cincinnati is, but they certainly stopped
because there are two times to judge a season.
We go through this.
Who asked you? Go solder.
We do go through this all the time. Whatever happens to Cincinnati, to me, doesn't take away from how they played.
No.
To how the Patriots played on Sunday.
Right.
However, that doesn't mean that's what the Patriots are.
No.
You mean that? Listen, they could go out and give up 150 yards on the ground the next three games. You know, but they did stop Cincinnati's ground game on Sunday.
They stopped the Cincinnati ground game, which was very successful last year, and hasn't changed much, the personnel.
No, the line is basically the same, and Benson and Bernard Scott are both back.
Yeah.
They were there last year.
So that was really, really encouraging.
What little they got on the ground was absolute window dressing. It was all in the second half out of the no huddle. They mixed in a handful of runs, and they were successful when doing it.
Like, and you said, like that front seven or sometimes front, you know, eight
different guys.
If you want to throw in Chung as right playing that big nickel, so they were really stout. They pursued. You know, where in the past we've seen guys get around the corner on them, they just couldn't hold the edge. They just strung out plays and swarm tackling. It was really encouraging. And back is Andy.
Back
from doing what he
Andy
had to do. I don't know what that was. You ran out of here like your pants were on fire. What the hell was going on?
They were not.
No.
They are still pleated, though, after much criticism last week from a TV show. But, yeah, very excited about
the
energy.
Only one person, right?
No, I got more than one.
About the pleated pants?
You got a series of pleat emails?
No. Family members, phone
family.
Calls.
Because I did an informal survey, and everybody kind of looked at me like I had three heads. Like, what are you talking about? Why would anybody be looking at the pleats in your pants?
Much criticized pleats. Apparently they're for old
Andy.
People. They're out. They make your schlong look like it's sticking up the whole show. You know, Ron Burgundy, that's the pants.
As I said to you off the air, I can't control nature. I mean, that's
true.
You know.
Schlong's going to do what a schlong's going to do. TV Azteca.
There's nowhere for it to go.
But I was excited by the energy. You know, Patrick Chung flying around, 12 solo tackles. To me, that's more impressive than 16 tackles and it's, 12 assists. 12 solos. And I didn't chart them all, but I told you he was running around. Your eye told you that they were flying to the ball. McCourty, I thought, the very first play of the game. You know, he's in a moment where maybe he could poop himself. You know, Paul, I like to judge people on special, not special. Not sure this qualifies
as special. I don't know what your rules are anymore.
But the bottom line is, they saw a rookie corner on T.O. They tried to go up top, and he broke it up.
Now, could Sam Bradford still be special in that they had him throw the ball 56 times in his first start?
Well, they're trying to ruin his speciality.
Okay.
But I thought the young players, Rob Ninkovich had a play where, had he not gone in the fetal position, might have been an even bigger play. He could have gotten up and run. I thought Tully Bantakane, who's, relatively young, I guess, and not necessarily proven. I thought he had a nice first game. Vince Wilfork is Vince Wilfork. He created that sack that Pryor and
that was all Will Fork. Split, absolutely all Will
flying
Fork.
All over the field. I think he got a pass defense. He was all over the place as always. And they emptied the bench, and you couldn't tell. It didn't feel like they emptied the bench because they had to. It felt like they emptied the bench, and as Bill said, I think we needed that. Everybody got to play.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of emails coming in, but right now let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
When the boss says it,
for those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, but, 5 yards, but first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services NA, Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello!
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It's just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Apparently, we're having technical difficulties. So if you missed the beginning of the show,
I don't buy it.
Download the podcast now. So, Food's here.
Go ahead, Andy. Take your shot.
I was just going to compare us to the Jets' offense. Not quite ready for the regular season.
What is going on?
Struggling out of the gates. They were struggling.
Can tell me somebody...
You guys been drinking? Because that's an excuse. If you guys been drinking back there, that's fine.
Can somebody tell me what's going on? Fill me in.
Well, now, good news is we now have
anybody?
Four monkeys and a mouse back there. We've added a monkey to the mix.
We have a new audio device, a USB hub that's feeding the internet computers now instead of RCA cable, so the audio quality is better.
Yeah, when you can hear it.
Right. Right now, it's just not connecting properly.
Oh, God.
Chris said it has nothing to do with that.
All right. Well, you know, they're all in there working on this new equipment, which you would think you do when
Chris
there's not a show
mirror,
going on.
It's Mirror Image's fault.
So, all right. Let's throw the vendor under the bus.
Well, that's what we do.
Anyway, lunch today is made possible by James Pettigrew.
Once again, he's the best.
He's awesome.
Are we going to get him involved with picks or something?
Yeah, man!
Something. He needs to get something out of this.
We'll give him his own show, for crying out loud.
I'd like Stevie H to come back.
That's him?
James writes in. Oh. He says, a great pleasure to buy you guys lunch every Tuesday. Look forward to doing it every year for the regular season. Wow.
Every year?
I think he means week. A longtime listener, I subscribed to the paper, was responsible for the short-lived Stevie H MP3s. And British... and currently live in New Hampshire, but have just bought a house in Norwell, and that's in Mass. So look forward to being truly local soon and visiting you guys in the studio.
Anytime.
Thought I'd actually comment on the first edition of the new look Patriots Football Weekly show on Comcast.
Uh-oh.
If the review was too long, then feel free to brush me off, Fred.
No.
Don't want the listeners to put me in the same boat as Mike from Puerto Rico.
Mike from Puerto Rico is not promising lunch for the whole year.
He's really getting killed. I was doing the blog on during the game. A lot of people killing Mike. Too bad.
Do you actually talk about the game at all on Curse Words?
It's I'm not giving play-by-play. It's more of, you know, we're all in the living room together, and we're shooting the you-know-what. You know?
Who?
Anyway, he says, firstly, what the F is going on with Tom Curran and Quickslants? I need some journalist on journalist crime here. His delivery was terrible, throwing things around the studio, encouraging viewers to do inappropriate things with Mary Pelletti. Just my observations onto the real stuff. Fred. Put your mic wire under your shirt like Paul and Andy and keep your hands out of your pockets. Makes you look shady. Paul, wear looser-fitting clothing. When you sat down to talk to Fred Taylor, everything was straining at the waist. Andy, just perfect as always. Wow.
Thank you, James. You're the best.
And Eric, for once, I didn't find you annoying or pompous. Keep it up. Eric refuses to be on the show, by the way.
So he was kind of pompous in his absence,
right.
A little bit.
Camera work. This was strange throughout the program. Cameras were zooming in and out. Andy was out of focus when he was in the stadium. When Paul was doing trash talk, he was looking into the other camera. You could see the elbow of one of the cameramen on the post-radio show bit. On one occasion, the camera focused on Paul's wedding ring, then Andy's wedding ring, then both your faces, as to ask, can you believe these guys are not gay? I felt it detracted from the show. But perhaps I'm in a minority. Fred, Images of the Week was a strange segment. Why were all the photos overlaid with graphics to make them look old or poor quality? I thought the segment was showcasing the photographer's ability. I guess. I don't know. Hall at Patriot Place, on occasion the segment set in the hall, presented by Raytheon, had a lot of background noise, public announcements, etc. Probably unavoidable. In summary... all in all, a good start, much like the season. Try not to shout over each other too much. Works great on the radio, not so much on TV. Try to tighten up the ends of each segment. Sometimes it was dead air and awkward looks. We have that today,
yes.
Too. A prime example was the end of the opening water cooler segment. Please drop the annoying camera work. Lastly, and most importantly, there was no mention throughout the show of how to subscribe to the paper or how to tune into the radio program.
Wow.
We corrected that this week, James. But that's good. Good constructive criticism. I think he was on with all of those.
We only corrected the paper part, right? I'm not sure we corrected the PFW in progress part.
Well, not how to listen, no.
Maybe we should get that in one of those segments down here in coming weeks.
Yep. Well, we'll always have that segment, so that's our chance to promote whatever the hell we want to promote.
And you should say, want to hear more of this, PFW in progress,
right?
Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2, pages.com. But that was a very in-depth summary of the show and... the one problem with the loose endings to segments is Fred is often tasked with closing the segments, and he just goes,
Well,
I'm going to do the PFW in progress thing, the producer thing.
It's not our fault?
I don't think that's our fault. I think that's a...
kind of agree.
That's a post-edit thing. I think that if they're kind of loosely ended, they should tighten it up for us. Now, the other stuff, that's all our fault. But, you know, in my case, I'm fat. What do you want me to tell you?
So... you know, and one person, I'll read this one because it's kind of along the same subject.
My clothes by no means are tight.
Ken in New Mexico writes in, let's skip the uneasy, scripted, natural conversations you guys had on your TV show last week and go straight to Fred's hair. Look at the first segment. He's standing sideways. It looks like he's got the same Fryer Tuck haircut as Tim Tebow. That's an image I'll never forget, Fryer Fred. Then he goes on. I don't really want to talk about Moss's incoherent and self-contradicting post-game interview. What I do want to, your opinion is whether or not he would take a contract along the lines of 2 years, $10 million guaranteed, 5 years with $5 million per year with incentives to earn up to $10 million per year. I do think he's still got something left in the tank, but as all of you say, when a wide receiver drops, it's fast, short contract with less guaranteed than he has, not, but with incentives to earn more sounds like the right way to go. So, what do you guys think about that? So he's saying 2 years, $10 million total, guaranteed.
And it could grow to $20 million?
And it could grow to 20 with
but
incentives.
The Patriots aren't really about individual incentives, and I assume you mean if he catches 80 passes and has 12 touchdowns, he gets an extra. I don't really believe they do that at all.
I think you could talk all the incentives you want. I don't think there's any chance that he would take a contract that small.
Right.
I would certainly be willing to give it. And I've been in the I don't want any part of Moss going forward, but if I can get him for $10 million for 2 years, certainly I would do that.
I think I just want to franchise him.
He makes $9 million a year now. I don't think you're going to cut his salary almost in half. His guaranteed
especially
money. I don't
he
think
goes
there's
out
any way.
Has the same year he's had for the last
right.
two.
If you want him back, I don't see how he comes back for that. Do you?
I mean, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league, and you're going to pay him less than one of the best guards in the league. You know, that the offer you made to Mankins, that you can't do
Not
that.
Not only that, you're paying him, Vic's making $5 million as a backup quarterback.
Right. But he's kind of, that's kind of weird. He's the highest paid backup quarterback
in
the league.
And it would be kind of weird
yeah.
if Randy Moss was one of the best receivers making.
Right, that's what I said, yeah. So, Ken finally says, I got no question that the Patriots defense will be a fantasy league starting D this week against a Jets team that can't even make a first down, let alone scored. Question is the Jets D good enough to slow R.O. the way they did it with the Ravens? Any word on the seriousness of the injury to Jenkins? As much as some people may hope he's out, I'd like to see the Jets at their full strength so we can beat them without excuses.
I don't think that'll be an excuse.
I don't either. I mean, we didn't have Welker last year, and to me, I wasn't making any excuses there. They just beat the hell out of us,
yeah,
with or without Welker.
I don't think you'll hear too many people in the Jets say, well, it would have been different if we had Chris Jenkins. I think he's an excellent player. But
did you think the Bengals slowed the Patriots at all?
I did.
I did, too. That's what I'm at. And I think the Jets are a better. No, I don't think they shut him down. He used the word slowed.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 14 points that were very helpful to you on returns. And I don't take that away from the team in general, but I didn't think the offense was perfect. I don't think it was flying out of the gates. They had that nice drive early. They got the big play on a blown coverage from Hernandez, where they just decided, I'm going to run with Randy Moss and no one else is going to go to Hernandez.
They had two outstanding drives in that game, the first one and the last one.
But I thought they were slowed. I didn't think it was the best Patriots offense performance that I've ever seen. And I think the Jets defense is significantly better than the Bengals defense. The Bengals are a good defense. They were a top five unit last year.
Yeah, I think the Jets defense is significantly better than anybody's
right.
in football.
So, yeah, I do think they're good enough to slow the Patriots offense. Especially when you have the best corner in football. I mean,
yep.
that, we've said it a million times, but that changes things.
And if you can put him one-on-one, that changes, you know, the way that Randy talked after the game. I know what my role is to pop the top off the defense. Well, that role comes out against the Jets if Revis is physically ready to go. Now, he looked great, I thought, last night. But Andy brought up a good point while we were taping the TV show. You know, he missed all of camp. He's probably going to be pretty sore right now. And how he feels heading into the game is going to be another story.
So it's an even a day less. So he had to play a full game. And he's got a shorter preparation week. I would take my chances at him. I would try to test him a little bit and see what he's got. They have a little rivalry. I don't know if you guys talked about this at the top of the show. Moss was on SportsCenter. Paul and I watched it upstairs. He was live at 11:30 on SportsCenter. Talking a lot about the contract and all that stuff, but at the end they asked him about Revis calling him a slouch. I'm sure you remember that. Revis called him a slouch this
yep.
offseason. And Moss basically said, well, the slouch will be out there for 60 minutes on Sunday.
Yep.
So they have a little, let's give Moss a chance to make a play. And let's not wait till the last play of the game. Let's try to do it early and kind of maybe change the game.
Well, I think you definitely want to avoid Revis if you can. But Cromartie had a tough game. And do you think that, you know, all the penalties that he had, gets into his head this week, and maybe he's a guy that you want to target if you're Tom Brady?
I would hope not if I were his coach. I thought some of the penalties in that game were a little ticky-tacky. I thought guys were fighting, a little arm fighting
on both sides. I think the penalties got into all of their heads, and it affected the way they played, specifically Kyle Wilson and Cromartie. I agree with Andy. I didn't think that he got beaten that bad. There was one play he got on a double move that he got undressed, and he had to reach out and grab him. That was an obvious penalty. But for the most part, I thought the penalties were arm bars.
Yeah.
They were just arm wrestling down the sideline. Could have gone either way. I don't like those calls. I think Kyle Wilson got called for hitting the guy. No, Cromartie got called for hitting a guy before the ball got there, which was a legit penalty on a pass interference, I think,
but
in the first
really
early in the game.
I mean, he just.
But he clearly hit him before
second,
the ball.
But,
yeah.
I agree with Rex Ryan. That penalty, to me, is an aggressive penalty. He had good coverage, and he was just a half a second too early on the contact.
Yeah.
If he waits a half a second, you're saying, that's phenomenal coverage. Kyle Wilson, I thought, got caught up a little in the Darius Butler game. A lot of times he was in the picture. He's not getting toasted like a rookie, but needs to make plays. Needs to turn his head and be able to make plays on the ball.
Right.
And he couldn't do that.
And another one in that game, not to make this all about the Jets recap last night, but the 3rd and 28 early in the game, and people might look at it and say, well, it didn't matter. It was a 3rd and 28. They called a defensive holding on Kyle Wilson, I think, on Hushmanzada. Which was
from the play on the other side,
and
of
it was
field.
About 3 yards across the line in the area where you can have contact. There was a little tug, but it was a horrible call. Especially to me, the referees have to know the situation. It's 3rd and 28, and to hand a team a first down on a play like that, they ultimately were able to flip field position a little bit there, and I think that was a really bad call. It didn't cost them points, but it cost them in other ways. I don't like the way. I mean, I don't like the officials in 9 games out of 10 that I watched, and I certainly didn't like him in that.
What do you think the roughing the kicker?
That was an atrocity, an absolute atrocity.
Yeah. Yeah, the real penalty was cheating on to get over.
Because it's almost like
now that's what I was talking to my brother about that.
Himself
I said I don't know.
Himself.
I don't know if is that legal.
You can't use another player as leverage or whatever
to jump up though. I don't know. Like, I wasn't sure if that was.
You're not allowed.
Or not.
You're not supposed to use another player to aid you in whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that's legal.
Yeah, I don't. It didn't look right to me, but they didn't call.
It was
that.
Really cool.
They didn't call that.
Braylon Edwards looked really athletic, and it was well timed and everything. It looked good.
Yeah,
it was a bad penalty.
But the kicker went out of his way to put his foot down on a prone Braylon Edwards on the ground.
Yeah,
that can't be a penalty. It can't be.
Yeah.
And it's another one that, of course, all the NFL guys, with all the network dollars, they have to immediately say, you may not like the rule, but it was interpreted properly. Well, no, it wasn't.
Well, Gruden didn't.
The rule, yeah. No, it was because Gruden's not a conformist.
And then Jaworski pointed out the other penalty. I wasn't talking about that one.
Right. you can't just – the rule is – there's nothing wrong with the rule, in my opinion, by the way. If you dive in and you're at the kicker's feet while it's in the air – and you don't give him a place to land, that should be a penalty for running into the kicker. That should be a 5-yard penalty. That's not what happened. He was beside him, and the kicker intentionally put his foot down on Braylon Edwards' back. That can't be a penalty.
Right.
I mean, what are you not supposed to even try to block kicks?
No, it was pretty tightly called, that's for sure, and I hope they do the same next week.
And I thought there was also, and I hate these penalties to begin with, but I thought it was a really chippy game. And I applauded the referees for calling a penalty early in the game to try to settle it down. And it was against the Jets. It was a guy hit another guy in the face.
Right.
Good call.
Yeah.
There was about 5 others after that they didn't call.
Right.
There was one where I thought a full-fledged riot was going to break out.
No flag.
After
nothing.
It was on a punt return. And there was a little. He bobbled the ball and he fell on it. And then another guy ripped a guy off the pile. I thought a full-fledged brawl was going to break out. And no flags flew.
They went to a commercial.
Yeah.
the catch by Todd Heap early.
We should probably talk
unbelievable.
About
did you see that? He was fully stretched out down the seam. I think it was on a 3rd down early in the game. You guys didn't see the
Flacco made the.
I didn't remember any out of the ordinary catch.
Oh
by
my
Heap.
God.
I must have missed it. Yeah,
it was one of the best tight end catches I've seen. I mean,
he also had. I thought he had one of the worst tight end drops I've seen in the end zone. I mean, they'll give Kyle Wilson a credit for a pass breakup, but it was an Ellis Hobbs pass defense. The guy dropped the ball first. Then I'll give Wilson credit. He didn't quit on the play. He stripped the ball after that. But if he catches it, he doesn't get it stripped.
Yeah.
He didn't catch it cleanly. It was like T.O.'s on McCourty on the first play of the game. If T.O. catches the ball cleanly, he doesn't allow McCourty to get the strip.
Right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
The second half hour, we'll talk Patriots.
Oh, we talked Patriots before. You just left us, by the way.
I know, but we're Patriots Football Weekly.
We were talking about the Patriots the whole time. The defense especially. Very impressed with the defense, Andy.
Gary Guyton making plays.
I think everyone listening, if anyone is listening, I know we're having technical problems, watched the game or have seen the game since then. So we all know the performance that the defense put in. Do you think that the strategy of the defense changes at all next week, or you basically do the same things you did this week, with multiple formations?
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about that all preseason. They're not good enough to line up 11 guys and say we're going to play base defense.
Yeah, but you're playing the Jets offense.
Doesn't matter. They're not good enough to line up against Everett High and play base defense all the time, 11 guys. I just don't think they are. I think they're going to have to use their bench. I mean, even when they were better than this, Pepper Johnson, you have 16, 17 starters on defense. I think they're going to have to empty the bulk of the depth chart on defense many weeks and take advantage of matchups and schemes and various opportunities as they come.
Yeah, and I thought the Patriots came out looking for Cincinnati to try to establish something on the ground, and they were prepared for that. And that was the focus of their defense, was to make sure they didn't allow Cedric Benson to get off to a good start, and then have Cincinnati be able to be balanced. They took the run away and made it a one-dimensional game, and I think that worked well for them. I would expect to see the same kind of thing. Now, it might not be personnel-wise. I don't know enough about the X's and O's.
Marcus Morrell.
But I don't know how Bill will go about doing it, is my point. But I think that the mindset will be similar. Let's make sure we don't allow Sean Green to get off to a good start and then allow them to pick and choose when they want to throw. They want to get the Jets in passing situations and make Mark Sanchez prove that he can convert those, because I don't think he can.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Right now on the phone is Brad from Baltimore. Brad was on the Kirsch Hordes with me this weekend. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. I was.
Brad?
It was really very good coverage, by the way. You sold yourself a little short. You do some play-by-play.
A little bit, but not that much. After the play, I'll say if it's a third down.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to
play-by-play. Anyway, I'm wondering, I loved Eric, and Eric wasn't on the show last Thursday when I instituted the new Patriots defense that they started the game with, which was the, what was that again, 4-2-5 with no outside linebackers.
What?
Okay, what's the point?
The point was you guys laughed me almost off the air.
I think we
were
told
like,
you they used no outside linebackers at times in camp.
What?
Didn't we tell you that they did that at times in camp?
I'm going to start making a log of things that we talk about on the show.
It was interesting because Eric then talked about, maybe we'll see more of that as the season goes on.
They worked.
They played very well. I think a lot of the criticism of the second half comes from playing with a fairly large lead. You want to eat clock more than you want to. I mean, obviously you'd love to do three and outs, but you just want the clock to keep going. And what was one of their drives?
One thing you certainly don't want is a 30-some-odd touchdown pass to Chad Ochocinco in that situation, and we saw one of those.
But on the other drive, it took them like 7 minutes to go the length of the field. So, I was sitting there saying, okay, well, if they do that three times, the game will end before they can score the third touchdown.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people said, in some of them who should know, that they changed up their defense in the second half, and that's kind of why Cincinnati was it. I'm not totally buying that. I still think that they should have dialed up a little bit more pressure and played like a team that has a lead that really is going for the throat. And
doesn't that make it easier to play defense in that situation?
I think so.
I agree.
I've been told.
In 07, the whole theory was
because
they were
one
fragile.
Dimensional. Right. They're
because
one
they
dimensional.
Pinned their ears back and they had these big leads early and they could put their foot on somebody's throat.
Now, to me, I think
it's when Mike Vrabel got his cheap 12.5 sacks.
Right. The thing to focus on to me on Sunday would be the start of the game. The first five drives, to me, were very impressive. That's what Fred and I talked about at the open. Punt, punt, fumble, punt, pick six for Gary Guyton. That's what I would focus on. I think that was the more important element of what they did. But at the same time, I can't close my eyes to three straight touchdown drives in the second half. And I know it was a big lead, and I know it doesn't look that way, but you just talked about the 7-minute drive for Cincinnati. Well, the Patriots put themselves in a position where they had to come up with a 7-minute drive
win
the game.
And by the way,
what happened consistently in 2009?
Right.
They didn't get that drive to put the game away.
Exactly. So at least this year they did.
Right. So I don't want to dismiss the defense in the second half, because if the offense doesn't come out and go 81 yards in 7.5 minutes, start at the end of the third quarter into the fourth, and Andy was saying it live during the game, all of a sudden, it's a 14-point game with a whole quarter left, and the other team's got all kinds of momentum. So you can't just say, well, they played prevent. Well, prevent is prevent for a reason. It stops the other team from scoring like that. You know, it's supposed to keep things in front. And I don't think they played terribly in the second half, because I thought they really made Cincinnati work for most of what they got. There was a couple of really fluky catches, too. One that I don't know how they didn't intercept on a fourth down. But the bottom line is, I don't think any defensive scheme is geared to allow 21 straight points.
No, and I've always said the prevent defense only prevents you from winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because you end up playing so soft, and you lose that fire. You're right.
I think they played soft.
You take the foot off the throat. You're not blitzing. And, you're giving the – I mean, Carson Palmer is not Sanchez. And Carson Palmer has been a very good quarterback for a number of years.
Not lately, though. I thought he stunk early.
He was terrible in that game Sunday, and he was terrible last year. So
he was a detriment to his offense in the first half.
He was terrible early, but he got it going in the second half.
A little bit. By the way, back to that Jets game for 1 second, I've never seen a quarterback in recent memory miss a wide-open guy in the end zone like Flacco.
Flacco did last night.
Oh, my God, I was screaming. What are you doing?
With everybody around me as Ravens fans, you know, it was almost kind of fun to come into work today, because it's like, okay, you guys won, but man, did you really stink on offense?
Yeah.
I disagree. But anyway.
Well, I think that
Paul wants to argue with you more. Go.
No, I'm obviously in the vast minority. That's all they were talking about here, was how all those new weapons that Baltimore had, their offense still stinks. I thought playing against that defense on the road, in the field position that they had the whole game, especially in the second half, they had a 93-yard drive for a touchdown on one. They got off their 1-yard line and flipped the field on another.
How many of that was because of the Jets' stupid penalties?
Is it stupid, or did you get open and make them make penalties?
You've already talked about it. I know nobody heard you because you're not on the air yet.
Luckily, you were waiting on hold.
That's why I called in. No, I called in. I said, hey, Doc, for
we
once.
We had one listener. The guy on hold. We literally had one listener. I think there was some ticky-tack calls, but I thought the Patriots – I mean, I thought the Ravens made plays to get him. I mean, Flacco threw for 250 yards. It wasn't like he had a terrible game.
Good call, Bradley.
I'm getting the safe sign from Kevin in there.
He's gone.
Okay. When you do that, that means I'm safe at second.
Okay, I'll just do this next time.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right, Brad in Baltimore. Thanks for calling in.
508-543-7482.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Rich from Minneapolis writes in. So what are your thoughts on the Moss comments? Personally, I'd like to say that I think it's great. It sounds to me like Moss came out to address it because he doesn't want his image to be like that of T.O., where he tries to hurt the team or distract the team because he isn't happy. This is a new Moss because this is the last year of his contract and he doesn't want to hurt his chances with potential suitors. Before, I feel Moss wouldn't have given any time of day and just had the attitude that the media will do what they do and I don't need to potentially make things worse by trying to clarify my original comments. I was very encouraged that he indicated he wants to stay and wants to have a big year. What do you guys think? Also, what is the real deal with Logan Mankins? Apparently, he did offer an apology to Kraft about his remarks. Thanks, guys.
Well, I think part of the whole Moss thing is, do you believe his words or his actions?
I believe everything he said, and he said everything.
Right. That's true.
You know?
He definitely said everything. But he's up there saying, I'm not disgruntled, and I'm just doing this because it's the first time I've spoken. It's the first time you've spoken because you decided this was going to be the first time you spoke. You were requested through the media relations department every single day of training camp, every post game. You chose not to talk. You could have done this on some boring Tuesday in August, and you wouldn't have had to take away or be accused of taking away from a huge season-opening victory, correct?
Right.
So he chose the timing. No one else. He chose the timing. So that's his doing. So don't accuse anyone
Absolutely.
Of anything.
And I don't think
and
it
you're
was
right. He contradicted himself 100.
I don't think
he was so
anything.
Much better on SportsCenter today, Fred. So much more concise.
Well, today
he was
actually doing a promotion for Capital One.
No, I know. Yes. But that doesn't mean he's not going to ramble.
No, I know.
He could ramble.
Yeah.
Capital One.
Well, he
said he was pretty. I thought, Paul, you listened to it. I thought he was far more concise and didn't contradict himself within the sentence, which he did the other night.
I got a chance, and I didn't hear it live on Sunday. I got a chance to watch a lot of it on Monday. I didn't think it was as bad as I originally thought.
Oh, I thought it was the most bizarre thing.
It was bizarre. It was no question bizarre. There was a lot of times, though, seeing it and seeing how he – there was a frustration level because he knew that people were going to take it the wrong way for him. And I could tell that he was really working hard to try to bang home the point that, listen – I like being a Patriot. I want to be here. And that's what he kept saying. Now, I don't understand the correlation to the T.O. thing. If you didn't want to be a distraction, then you wouldn't have said this
at
all.
Right.
So to separate him from anybody else
issue
that does
a statement.
These things,
if
don't
that,
say
if,
anything.
If it's that important
If you don't
to
want
you.
To be a distraction
right.
to anybody,
right.
keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Keep it behind closed doors.
But
if you really don't want it to be an issue.
I think a lot of these guys do things that they actually think are right at the time. And it spirals out of control, and they don't do it the right way. I don't think everything T.O. does or everything Moss does, the intent is I'm going to distract or I'm going to be a – but they say, son of a – I didn't see that. I didn't think that was going to go that way.
I was surprised with the level of support he got, though. I'll tell you that, in the media.
Well, Tom Curran was his personal PR guy trying to tell him from the front row to stop talking because you know how this is going
to
play. And
but I got a chance to listen to some of the afternoon stuff yesterday and on
yesterday
EEI.
Afternoon on EEI. The son of a bitch. He got support.
Well,
they didn't
I
make it into a scandal.
Well, Felger, who is
an idiot,
Randy Moss's biggest critic,
right.
was very defensive of Moss in that situation. He's saying he's just speaking the truth.
Now it just proves
he's
a contrarian.
Contrarian.
Right.
But,
he's a total contrarian.
And Borges wrote a big column saying all he did was speak the truth.
Yeah.
I'm with Fred.
But I think he's right.
The truth.
I do agree with that, though. I think he did speak the truth.
Did
I think yes.
He said he wanted to be appreciated. He
yes.
just wanted somebody to say you've done a good job.
Yeah,
is
see,
that
but
true?
I
well,
no.
Or did he want $30 million?
No, he wants
but
to be appreciated.
But that's what he means by it.
In an offer.
But his little parallel of you guys write a column and you want your boss to read it and come out the next morning and say you wrote a good column. Bill Belichick has praised him since the day he walked into Gillette
in
Stadium.
His mind,
he's looked. But the praise. So praise is money.
In his mind, because it's a business. You get your praise from your contract.
And he also said if they didn't offer him a contract during the year, it'd be a smack in his face and he wouldn't stay.
If they went
on TV today, he said he wants to give him a reason at the end of the year to re-sign him.
Okay.
So what does he mean? I don't know.
At the end of the day, you know, because I heard, oh, my God, you know, Randy Moss just had a meltdown.
He did.
So
it was borderline.
I went and I listened to the
tape. Well, he did. That was a meltdown.
I don't think it was.
Oh, Fred, it was
you
a rambling.
You can argue that it wasn't detrimental to the Patriots or it's not explosive, but he melted down in front of our eyes.
And I would agree with that.
He was frustrated at the way
he was laughing. I think it was fine.
I thought it was an uncomfortable laugh
not,
of frustration.
It's not that big
you guys
a deal.
Aren't getting my point. I'm going to say it again. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a distraction, but
you're arguing two different things. I mean, if you say it's not that big a deal, I agree with you.
Yeah,
because I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big a deal.
He didn't burn a bridge to close a door.
No, that's why I'm saying it's not that
but
big
it was
a deal.
A meltdown.
But it absolutely was a meltdown.
And
for 16 minutes,
I go
he
with
rambled.
Bizarre. Bizarre is my word that I'll continue.
He rambled
to use.
And he contradicted himself time after time after time. It was a rambling, bumbling kind of. Very un-Randy Moss-like.
Well, I'm not saying it was absolutely coherent, and I think he did contradict
usually
himself.
Usually he's three questions
many times.
But that's a meltdown.
To me, a meltdown is when someone loses it. They just, you know, they lose their temper. They lose self-control.
See. No,
I don't think his message was clear, but he didn't lose control.
No, I don't
to
think
me,
he lost,
that's a meltdown.
I don't think he lost control
of his own sentences.
We just have a different opinion of what a meltdown is, that's all.
You don't have to be.
I don't think it's a big. I don't think it's a big deal. That's. I think it's. It was a big deal Sunday and yesterday, but I think at this point, it's probably already on the back burner.
Strippers is reporting, and I'm saying it because Strippers is usually reliable. That Jenkins is out with a torn ACL for the year.
Wow.
So
didn't he tear his ACL last year?
I'm counting on triples strippers to. Be accurate there.
I mean, I figure that's what it was. I mean, he left early in the game. They immediately ruled
well,
him out.
I heard early this morning it was just an MCL. So, you know, this guy has the worst luck with injuries. Chris Jenkins.
He does have a lot of injuries, but, you know.
I would say that
if he was in shape.
If he had
Sorry, Felger.
If he had been relatively
torn ligaments,
if he had relatively been, you know, injury free for his career, I think he'd be a Hall of Famer.
One of the best interior. Sure. Defensive
I think he's that
ever.
Good.
Absolutely,
I really do.
I agree.
But it's injuries that are really going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
It's part of the game.
It is. You know, when you're a guy that big.
Yeah, I figured it was something along those lines. I didn't see it. It happened early in the game.
The guy fell right into his knee.
And they said he was out for the game immediately. So.
But he walked off.
He walked off. Yeah. Well, a lot of times that happened. Brady walked off, right, didn't he? Or under
help. Yeah. He walked. Chris Jenkins walked off. And he's a big man. There's a lot of pressure going on that knee.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, when Welker tore his, he was done. Yep. We saw him in tears. I mean, compare that to Chris Jenkins just kind of, he was making just a face like, that doesn't look quite right.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, Welker was bawling his eyes out into a towel.
That said, there wasn't a lot of drop-off after he left the game. I think the Jets' front line was just as good.
I was
one
surprised
point I was
that.
Actually scanning to see if he had come back in because I was like, hey, they don't really miss him.
Because they completely shut down Ray Rice in that game. And that's not a lot of times when they get into their blitz happy, you know, we're going to get out to the quarterback at all costs, sometimes they run right by the ball carrier. And that didn't happen really last night at all.
No, I thought that front played well.
They dominated.
Who filled in for him, but
that might be well. You know, everybody focuses on the cornerbacks for the Ravens as a potential fatal flaw. That offensive line's not great.
Yep.
What about Michael Orr?
He's pretty good. Did you watch him at all?
No.
I did.
What's the difference between you and I, Andy? I can break down. I can't even say it with a straight face.
Paul
was up to me. I'd go with the no offensive line.
Paulie in LA 7-on-7. Paulie in L.A., can we rename the PFW kicker Eric Negativno? Everything is doom and gloom to him. No matter what he's writing about, he's just not satisfied. Sheesh.
Why? What did he?
BB can never be happy that his coaching, that's his coaching style. You need to find some levity. Negativno is what he's calling Scalavino.
We obviously can't call him that because
no one can pronounce it.
Negativno.
Okay.
So. Why, was he negative in his analysis of the game or something?
Maybe yesterday in his notes.
Does he write in an
Because
no, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
Aside from me saying that I think Carson Palmer was a bit of a detriment to the Bengals offense, I'm not sure what negative you could pull out of that game.
Nah.
I mean, everything we talked about from last year came the other way. They made key plays. They made the key offensive drive they needed. Gary Guyton, how many plays did Gary Guyton make?
One.
That's all you need to do to be a playmaker. You only need to make the one that matters. How many plays did Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez make?
One each.
One. But the third receivers that we've been striving to find, he had other options. He made use of them for just a single throw. And what did it mean? Points, touchdowns, drives, wins. The playmakers we lacked a year ago for 1 week. I'm not saying every week it's going to be perfect. But for 1 week against a playoff team.
They made plays.
They made the plays.
I think that's exactly the way to look at it.
Even the return game.
Every time we said they needed a return,
last year they never got.
This year
we got it.
They never got big plays when they needed them. And they got them on Sunday. There's no reason to have any hint of negativity.
Did you break down Brandon Tate's kick return?
With his little jump step. Yeah, jump step. And
he looked like me on the playground trying to blow by somebody.
He said he doesn't really know why he did that.
Yeah, he just did it. He goes, I forgot exactly, but I'm just going to try this and see if it works. And it worked.
But it is really satisfying, finally, to have a guy who, out of college, this is what he did. He comes here and does that, you know, because we've had mixed success with our draft picks. And, you know,
are we talking in general or kick returners?
I'm talking in general.
Wow. This just became like a great draft.
No, I mean, you know, I just think it's a great thing to see yes, this did translate to the NFL.
Yes, I would agree with that.
You know, because we didn't get to see him much last year. And now we know he can do this. He did it in the preseason already, and now he's done it in the regular season.
He turned it on. I liked that, too. He wasn't quite Bethel Johnson, but he had that sixth gear that he put it in right when he got past the kicker.
Between the
50 turned it on.
And about the 30 or 25, he hit a new level.
Yeah.
That's good. And I said to Paul also, he had a couple returns. It was ho-hum, and he was at the 28. And you go, this guy's average return is pretty good. And then he throws in the 97-yarder.
By the way,
that's what I like.
But he almost broke another one. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one after the Bengals field goal, he kind of caught. He made a nice move to get through a hole, It looked like he kind of tripped himself up and knocked himself off balance.
And he doesn't.
I think it was a 38-yard return. That was very close to being another one.
But he's Ellis Hobbs-like. Even Maroney, he does it going forward.
Yeah.
You know, remember the Dante Hall types? It's always pinball left, right?
Right.
Well, those guys end up with 6-yard returns as often as they go 96. He's going to have his 20-yard line, 28-yard line, then he's going to the house. I like his style so far. And I've said it all along. If he's just a return man, if he can bring that, I'm happy. That's a fine third-round pick to me because you impact games. I think he helped win that game for him on Sunday with that kickoff.
What we're starting to see, guys that are projected to do certain things, like Gronkowski, like Hernandez, do them.
Right.
Actually do them, you know, which
even
is nice.
Chung.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a hard-hitting, fly-around safety. He was hard-hitting and flying around.
I you know, that's a great point because so many times, even though they were, you know, some nice pickups for Cincinnati, he flashed from safety and made the tackle full speed. No hesitation. And,
I think he's a violent player, and the
good,
one concern
solid
have
tackles.
Is
good,
Bob Sanders type concern.
Yeah, good.
Because I think he plays a pretty hectic style that leads to injury.
Speaking of, Sanders got hurt again.
Bob
Sanders, and I don't know the result of his MRI, but
about
people
Hall
are saying that
who could have stayed healthy.
He might be out for
NFL Network is talking about Jenkins, by the way, torn ACL.
Torn ACL for Jenkins.
You think you saw it on the scroll?
So
he probably hurt us, Jason Lockenfora.
Lots of good stuff. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
On that line now.
No.
Usually when he gives the number, it's filled. No. Have we talked Mankins yet?
No, we haven't.
Why don't you talk about it?
Well, I mean, no, I think in a out of character or ordinary appearance, Robert Kraft was so fed up with, I guess, what was going on in the sports radio and all that, he decided to come on Patriots Monday yesterday with Dale and the Holly and, you know, wanted to clear the air. Unfortunately for me, I think there's still questions because one of the things – he came down because personally, you know, it was Adam Schefter's report, I guess, which started all of this.
Yes.
And Adam Schefter said that – I don't know if he said they had a deal or were close to a deal, but there was a deal on the table that, you know, was about to be signed, but because – they asked Mankins to make a public apology, they backed out.
The Schefter report was 2 weeks ago. Mankins was back here in Foxborough. They agreed to a deal that was on par with Jari Evans. And in doing so, Mankins apologized for the things that he said back in June to the Crafts. According to the report now.
Well, that's fact. Robert, that's substantiated as fact.
Okay.
Logan Mankins called him and apologized to him personally. But
as I'm explaining this, I want to stress that this is Adam Schefter's report.
That's,
but Robert has backed up.
Well, hold on
apology.
For a second.
Adam
hold
Schefter
on.
Said
hold
90
on.
Minutes later, the Crafts then contacted Mankins and requested that he now issue that apology publicly.
Right.
Mankins said no and reiterated that he will never again play for the Patriots.
Right.
Again, that is the Adam Schefter ESPN.com report that surfaced on game day.
Now, Robert Kraft came on yesterday and said, you know, he wasn't sure if it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but that he...
Same timeline.
He did get a call from Mankins. Mankins did apologize, okay? And once he did that, Robert Kraft suggested, and to me this makes perfect sense, you know, I would appreciate it if you did that publicly because I don't want guys to think that the way to get a deal done here is to go out and involve ownership and say things like that and then you get your deal. Okay? Now, so he said that they said that. What they were refuting is that they had a deal in place.
Ever.
He said in no way, shape, or form did they have a deal in place or on the table with Logan Mankins. What... Now, I don't know the answer to is, after Robert, whether he asked him to, suggested to, demanded him to, after he said, could you make that public, what happened after that? Now.
Mankins left, apparently.
Yeah. So what happened after that is still unanswered. What I will say, though, is this. Now, I'm getting this from a few people now about Mankins and his agent. When they put that original deal out there, it wasn't like, and I'm not talking about 2-3 weeks ago, because I don't even know if there was a deal then, but I'm talking about the one way back, okay, the one that was not quite Jari Evans' deal, but close, put him in the top five or whatever of all guards. They didn't even get a rebuttal. It was just a basically, F you. How dare you give us, you know, this type of deal, and there was no negotiation. You know, and from that point on, it's just been, it spiraled out of, you know, And I think what the Patriots just shook their head. And by the way, this isn't the Kraft doing this negotiation, by the way. It's, you know, Floyd Reese. And
that was the other thing that Mr. Kraft made very factually accurate. We don't do contracts. We just bless them.
Right. They didn't understand the response. It wasn't like, hey, that's an insult. Here's what we want. Or give us another try. You know, try again. That one stinks. It was just, that's it. We're done. And that's what I don't think they understood. And, you know, it's been bad from then on. Now, I'm encouraged that Mankins picked up the phone and called Robert Kraft, if that's the way it worked. I guess both sides are saying that's happened, you know. And who knows? It could still work out. I have a feeling that before Week 10, Logan Mankins is going to be in a uniform.
Well, I will say, based on Robert's comments, and I don't know exactly how he phrased it, but it's clear that those comments really hurt him, because he brought into, we do business in 80 countries, and our word, when we have a word out there, that's our word and that's our business. And he wasn't just saying Patriots. He was saying the Kraft name, all the companies, the various countries. That clearly bothered him that they were put up there. I mean, Mankins basically said that you can't trust their word.
And I still...
That hurt him.
I still don't understand what Mankins is talking about when he said in the 09 season, they told me after the season they would deal with me and take care of me. That's exactly what they did.
I agree with you.
I still don't know
whether you like becoming the third highest paid or not. They're dealing with you.
Again.
They didn't say, like Ursay, they didn't say, we'll make you the highest paid guard no matter what.
Right.
They said, we'll deal with you.
Right.
And they put an offer on the table that both sides seem to agree is a very lucrative offer. What the overall exact value, whatever, they dealt with you. They didn't lie. They didn't just walk away and turn your back.
Right.
If anybody, I mean, Moss is the guy who claims they haven't even sent nothing, not even a letter.
Right.
They had an offer to Logan Mankins.
And I think that's why we were all so much staunchly on the team side. It's not because we're always on the team side on these things, because we're not. Sometimes we're divided on these things. Whoa. We were all unified based on what Mankins said.
Right.
We felt like the Patriots held up that end of the bargain.
Right.
They said they would deal with him, and they made him a very big offer.
And Fred, is there a possibility, you brought this up, the specific negotiations, is there a possibility we're getting in one of those scenarios where Floyd Reese and whoever is talking to Frank Bauer, but the operator game, the translation that goes back to Kraft and Mankins, that degree of separation is a major issue
here? It could be.
Like a major issue?
In terms of the offer?
In terms of everything.
Because they had
in terms of apologies, in terms of
I don't
who's
know about
disrespecting
the apologies.
Who. I mean, Mankins literally may not be following the story.
I'm
on the ranch and I hired Frank Bauer to do a job. And Bauer's saying they're disrespected. You know,
right.
I feel like something's getting lost in the translation between the people that really, I think, care, which is Kraft and Mankins, and the people who are just doing jobs, which is Bauer and Reese.
It could be.
I think there's an issue.
You might be right.
But I think that, you know, on both sides, you know, and especially Kraft, because he was the one that was called out. They say all you have in life is your name.
Right.
You know, and when someone tries to take that from you, you know, especially, you know, when Kraft believes that it's just an outright fib or lie.
Bald-faced lie.
I mean, you have to come to your own defense because, like you said, it's not just here Patriots. Robert Kraft is, in the business world, an international figure.
Right.
He's got a lot more going on than the NFL. He's got, you know, I think IFP, which is one of their companies, like in the top 40 of exporters or importers in the world.
Imports, exports.
Yeah, you know, George Costanza. We're involved in something.
That's what I was thinking.
But I mean, it's more than just this that he has to worry about. And so when look, no disrespect to Logan Mankins, but when a left guard starts calling me a liar, all right, that's it, you know?
Right.
I'm cutting ties with you, but, you know, I'm about to get...
Yeah, can you stop?
Yeah, I'm going to start swearing.
But I am really concerned. I really, in this case, I'm wondering if I don't need Robert to negotiate the contract. Have Floyd say, this is where we are. This is the ballpark. This is the number. Give that to Robert and allow him to go in a room with Logan Mankins. I just get the feeling those two would walk out with a signed contract, a handshake, and Mankins would be suiting up in week two.
Well, that's why I would, you know, I have been saying all along, I think it's over. Based on that, I would give it maybe a 5%.
And
I still think it'd be highly unlikely.
And even in his
back.
Explanation yesterday, Robert called Mankins a high quality guy.
Yeah.
And Mankins said, you know, I hope to sign with you guys someday. I hope to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. And Robert said he said the same thing back to him. So I think that, like I said,
I thought it was going to get done. Then I said there was no way it's going to get done. I'm back to saying he's going to be in uniform before week 10.
And that's what Dale and Holly were spouting off. Yeah. I heard them at one point. I don't know exactly where it came in the timeline yesterday, but they were saying they wouldn't be surprised if he signs this week and is on the field for week 3. He misses one game.
So that whole story is false then.
What?
The Schefter report is all wrong, other than the fact that he met with Mr. Kraft 2 weeks ago?
Mr. Kraft? The part that Mr. Kraft said was definitively wrong is we never had a deal with Logan Mankins.
But nothing about nothing about Mankins saying he would never play for the Patriots again.
Because
according to that report, he was irritated to the point where he said, I'll never play for you again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear that report came from the agent side, the player side. So
yeah, I would agree.
But now I guess
doesn't mean it ain't right.
Now I guess we're getting all these emails that we sound like helium, like we're on helium.
That's just Paul being Paul. He doesn't have a big enough head.
They sound like helium.
Yeah,
you know, you need a bigger head.
Everything is all true.
So what the hell is going on?
I think we just fixed the issue, so it should be all right.
You tell us that like 1,000 times a week.
And by I mean not me.
Yeah, I know. You're certainly not taking credit for success when you cut ties with all failures.
That's too bad because
this has been a pretty good show for no one to hear. Yeah. Somebody call in. So
no, we're
at least,
hearing it.
At least somebody will be
we
on hold.
We have a phone call on
hear.
The line right now.
I would say that anyone who missed the first hour of the show, download the podcast. We had a good first hour, I think.
Yes.
All right. Who's on the line right now? John in Dallas? All right. John, hey, how you doing? Thanks for holding on.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I think you guys are having some problems with the web application.
No, it's just the usual.
It's just the employees that we employ.
I couldn't load it forever for the last hour, and then you guys did sound like helium. So hopefully it's sorted out at this point.
It's four monkeys and a mouse.
So did you guys cover any of the highlights from the Bengals game, or where are you guys right now?
Yeah, but what do you want to talk about? No problem. It's not your fault today. It's right. Kevin Collins got his name right there, and Jason Dvorkin.
We won't make fun of anyone who asks a question of something that's already been covered because no one heard what we said anyway. So
what do you want?
Okay, that's good. So getting back to the Moss, some of you guys called it the Moss meltdown. I didn't see it as a meltdown.
I'm with you.
He talks. The funny thing is if you listen to what he was saying, he talks a lot about this is a business decision, mm-hmm. but you can't get away from the emotional aspect of this, right? There's a lot of emotion tied up in this thing for him. You
sure.
can clearly tell based on what he said, right? So he wants to be here, and I hope that the Patriots make him an offer that, you know, is equal, equitable for both sides.
You know,
I think he's still got a couple of years left in the tank, and he provides a critical piece of our offense. I don't think you can replace with anybody on the current roster.
You know, John, not to interrupt you, but I will anyway. I think you know, with Moss, he saw Brady and, you know, get his deal and all the wonderful things that he had to say about the organization. And I think Moss wants to feel part of, you know, the family. I think there is genuinely like that little boy, you know, what about me? You know, kind of thing going on. And as much as he says it's a business, I do think it's an emotional, I want to belong type of feeling for Moss. Unfortunately, it is a business. And that's too bad. I'd love to, you know, if Robert Kraft put his arm around and says, here, you know, here's a contract. You're with us. But from a football standpoint, you got to be careful. You can't just go do that because you like the guy.
Now, even if you take the emotional out of it, let's just say, you know, whether you like him or you don't like him, I think it's hard to argue that he provides a critical piece of the offense. I don't see Tate or Price or anybody on the current roster that can take, as Randy said, he summed it up best in his press conference, can take the top off the defense.
Yep.
Right? There's no one on the roster that can currently do that, at least from my perspective.
You're right. There is no one. And right. You don't know that. I know everybody likes to point to, oh, they got the two first-round picks, and there's some big play receivers coming out of college. You can't just assume anyone's going to come in and do what – he's one of the greatest to ever play the game and to do that job in particular.
I'll stick with it. He's the most physically gifted wide receiver who's ever played.
Amen. And I want to see him go into the Hall of Fame with a Patriots uniform on.
But
not the,
big,
the Patriots Hall of Fame.
The big question is,
the Football Hall of Fame.
Will he be that in 3 years if you give him a two-year, three-year deal, whatever? That's the question. That's the fear.
Yeah.
Does he lose it right away? That's the problem. And it's a projection. And he knows it.
He said, you know, you're paid on what you've done, when you, what you're going to do when you come into the league. Well, you're going to be paid on what you're going to do again. Sorry, but they need to know they're going to get $9 or $10 million out of you 3 years from now, 2 years from now.
I'd love to be more confident about that and have them say, yeah, we are going to sign him and get it done. But
part of the problem is, do you think he can just become a in-cut guy and, you know, first downs and change his game? You know, a lot of these great athletes have to change their game over the years.
Yeah.
You know, guys go from throwing 97 to 92. Guys go from running a 4-4 to a 4-5. He still has the great hands, so in my mind, if he wants to be a possession guy, wants to go over the middle, he could be a productive receiver in a different form. But would he do that? I don't know. Or is he just going to continue to try to be a big play guy and nothing else?
Well, I've seen him. You know, hey, last year I think he went over the middle a lot of times, actually.
He does it some. Not a lot.
Yeah, and
some. He's done it every year he's been here. Some. He's made some great catches over the middle.
He generally mixes 15-yard outs with goes, go routes. Mm-hmm.
No, but he goes over the middle and then
some.
Very
5% maybe.
And usually when he does, he alligator on.
And the other question is, do you pay $10 million a year for the guy going over the middle? Even if he's capable of morphing into that role, is he worthy of $10 million a year money, or is that for guys that stretch the field, take the top off of defense? I mean, that's why there's a few different layers to his value today and going forward.
It's complicated.
But the thing is, though, is $10 million the right number? I don't know what it would take.
Right now, $9 million a year is Randy Moss, Anquan Boldin. These guys are basically $9 million a year receivers.
Yeah. Well, ask yourself this question. Going into the Jets game week two, if we didn't have him on the roster, he wasn't playing, what would that do to the Pats offense?
Who's he replaced with?
I have no idea.
Well, I would need to know.
I don't think anyone.
I think there's a difference between saying next week he's not there, what do you do? And next year you didn't re-sign him, what do you do?
Did I go get Vincent Jackson in the offseason?
But even if you did nothing personnel-wise, you spent the whole offseason saying, all right, we no longer have that.
But you
we had to change
something.
That. I'm saying even if you
he's
didn't.
He's the key to your offense. If you lose him, you're going to try to replace him, right?
We're
going to go with two receivers next year.
I'm more talking about your philosophy. Maybe you don't necessarily gear your offense around taking two or three shots a game to that guy.
Sure.
I'm just saying, at
I don't
bare,
care what the philosophy
minimum.
Is. If the wide receivers
at
next year are Tate and Welker, I'm not feeling so good.
You know, if they didn't have Welker in 2010 heading into the year, if they didn't know, say, in June or May that he was going to be back, the offense probably would have looked different in the summer. But they knew he was going to be back. They didn't necessarily have to replace him with anybody. They just knew they weren't going to have an element that they normally would have.
But he's very replaceable, right?
But it's different to sit there and say, yes, it's different to sit there and say, this guy is not there next week. Well, I've had him for the last 4 months,
right,
and I've been gearing my offense to having him, and now all of a sudden he's out next week. What do you do? That's not the same thing to me.
All right. That was John in Dallas. Thanks for the call. Phil writes in from Nova Scotia. Did anyone else notice Ocho slapping Bill's ass after making a catch on Sunday?
Bill didn't look happy.
I replayed it in slow motion on my DVR, and I'm surprised it wasn't mentioned. It was Ocho's best play all day.
I assume they mentioned it because they replayed it on the game.
But if you were Marvin Lewis, wouldn't that kind of annoy you?
Yep.
I think it would.
I know it would.
You're not a good judge. Everything annoys you.
You know, I don't need one of my players sucking up to the other coach.
What would Bill do if he were slapping Marvin Lewis on the butt? Moss was slapping Marvin. Especially in this situation. Maybe he's looking to go there next year. You're
right.
Sucking up? It's collusion.
Kevin, I have a question.
It was weird.
On the replay in the podcast, are we going to sound like chipmunks? Is that like been recorded that way now? Or what?
I think we have the chipmunk. We have the chipmunk factor kind of sorted out.
No, I know we have it sorted out now, but like when someone listens to this again,
Alvin!
Will we sound okay on the replay?
I would say probably not for the time you sounded like chipmunks.
Okay,
I would have to confirm that with Chris, but he called down and was concerned about you sounding like chipmunks just for that very reason, just for the podcast. Like he didn't want you sounding bad.
Can you yell Alvin and I'll say yes, Dave?
But now you sound fine.
Well, it's probably having to go through the stream, but they don't record it after the stream, right? You're recording from the board
and you buffer it.
So I think
if you shoot it up to the FTP,
we should be
site.
Okay. But all right, anyway. Oh yeah, yeah. Mike in sunny Florida writes in. Hey there, fellows and Eric. The good. Chung has me tingling like Rodney used to.
Oh, wow. Didn't know you were that.
The bad. Merriweather was more invisible than usual, the worst Pro Bowler ever.
Well, in his defense this week, he didn't play a ton.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that makes him that he makes it good.
A lot.
Just the,
but
the
he
game
wasn't,
plan.
Yeah, he wasn't a he wasn't involved nearly as much as he normally
according
is.
According to Mike Reese, it was more than a game plan. It was a message being sent to an underachiever, and maybe in their eyes,
that's
the
why most I said I didn't necessarily think it was
ever.
A good thing.
The ugly, what the F with Moss? He has some serious "my daddy wasn't there for me" issues.
It was a little bit of that,
you know. But you know what? He's
but that's
he,
not a meltdown.
He there. May not be that far off. He may not be.
So how do you not think it's a meltdown? But you think he has major?
I don't think he melted down. He didn't lose control. You know, Dennis Green was a meltdown.
So you have to yell to have a meltdown?
Yeah. Jim Mora.
Okay. If you have to yell to have a meltdown, then I agree it wasn't
right.
a meltdown.
He didn't yell once. He was very
yell.
Much.
I don't think he lost control.
I thought
himself.
He was very.
Rambling. I think meltdown is rambling.
But I also thought he was very
thoughts.
Frustrated. I thought he was at his wit's end. He was very frustrated. I thought he was visibly frustrated. The words couldn't come. He couldn't seem to get the words out the way he wanted to. He was annoyed with the perception of how everybody was taking it. I thought he was a mess, quite frankly. That's why I dubbed it a meltdown. But if you have to yell, he didn't yell.
And the worst part, I thought, is he wanted to get everything out there and talk about everything. And then there's been recent controversy of his actions at the charitable gala
right.
was written about, and he didn't want to talk about that. Yeah. Well, are you trying to clear the air of everything? Because right. if so, then clear the air. Right. Otherwise...
Overall, says Mike, I was, like most, very pleasantly surprised with the D. Don't know how we'll make it the rest of the year with a worse outside linebacking core than UConn.
Well, wow. Okay.
I'm not familiar with UConn's outside linebacking.
Good news is, Paul, he finally went to our theory. You got to have three guys for two spots. They have just three guys for two spots.
Yeah, at this point, you don't have to worry about it because they don't use them anyway.
Now, Cunningham got a lot of reps.
Yeah.
Didn't do much. That's just my opinion. What do you guys think?
I think you summarized it quite well.
I didn't notice him once.
You know, I saw him
appear to be playing the role of Derek Burgess.
Yeah, see, no, I'm not getting on. I mean, this kid just went through an entire preseason where he didn't get any work.
Right.
I'm willing to be patient.
Outside linebackers.
I'm willing to be patient.
He took an outside route a lot to the quarterback. I didn't see him go underneath. Inside at
I
all.
I didn't see him explode. I yeah. criticized Derek Burgess for not exploding. I never saw Jermaine Cunningham explode.
I didn't see him get him. He took the outside route, but I didn't see him get there.
No, he didn't.
I didn't see him flush the quarterback out. No. I didn't really see the quarterback flushed more than two or three times all day.
Five
that would be the only negative I could see out of the defense.
508-543-7482. Sandro in the Ukraine is on the phone. Hey, Sandro.
That would be Andrew, but that's okay. New guy.
I swear to God, this Sandro is what he
You're
wrote.
Right, that's what I wrote.
This guy's a clown.
Sorry that's about okay. that, Andrew.
He's a newbie. I have a couple of comments in the wake of the weekend, but first, you know, I've been a subscriber to the international thing, and I was only expecting that I got the PDFs online.
Yep.
But in the mail the other day, I got a 2010 Patriots yearbook.
That's right.
Okay, it was addressed. It had a label from Belgium.
What? Was it addressed to
Sandro? That was kind of weird. Anyway.
Maybe Sandro got it.
That's Carol Hardy. She's not the best circulation manager in the business for nothing.
Well, it must have been mailed from our Belgium offices. Because we have
desk. I think well, we call
I
it a desk.
Bad,
yes, Belgium desk.
It was weird because I wasn't expecting it, and then I don't know anybody in Belgium. But
were you concerned that anyway. It was a suspicious package that you would call the bomb squad?
Yeah, it was in a black bag. And
don't
I'm
worry
like, oh,
about that white powdery substance.
Because my wife went to the post office.
What did you order, porn?
Anthrax?
No, that's what I was
Hustler? The latest edition of Hustler Belgium?
That to me. Anyway, no. So I have a couple of observations about, you were talking about the draft, about the Patriots, but, you know, I had written last year about the Jets drafts of the last 2 years. And if you look at the Jets picks over the last 2 years in this first week, it pretty suck across the board. I mean, your franchise passed for, what, 70 yards? And the future franchise running back ran for 18.
You mean on Monday night they sucked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, from last year's draft and this year's draft.
But on Monday, in the game,
that were
but you're talking about in the game on Monday. Last
yeah.
night they sucked. Okay. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, compared to either of our drafts, I mean,
but if we went off, but if we went on the first game last year, you would have said Patrick Chung sucked and Ron Brace sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was one game, right?
Yep. That's
I mean,
true.
There was but one game. I mean, Sean Green was excellent last year.
Tick, tick, tick.
I mean, I just, I mean, Sean Green, got, I mean, was he not, was Sean Green not very good last year?
No, he sucked.
He sucked Monday night.
Now.
He sucked one game.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, okay, what was the point?
Right?
If you can't get up.
Yeah, well, you know what? He was a franchise back in the playoffs last year, that's for sure.
If you can't get up for your home opener.
He led the NFL in rushing in the postseason last year, did he not? That's a franchise back. Now I am tick, tick, tick.
He only fights the international callers.
I just, anyway, you know, it's, no one wins worse than we do. It's embarrassing.
Oh, come on, Paul.
It's embarrassing.
Fun. Jeez.
It's just, I am having fun. It's embarrassing.
You guys just kicked off that you were predicting doom and gloom, and it didn't happen.
I predicted
Andrew.
I predicted the Patriots to win 28-24. They won 38-24.
And I told
I'm
you I'd tell you about
that.
The season after the opener. Now I'm feeling good about the season.
I'm pretty happy with my prediction, to be honest with you.
I got a question. Was in the booth, was Eric more upset that the Patriots were doing good or bad?
He just said he was mildly surprised.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. He was upset.
He's mild. Don't listen to anything Eric says. He doesn't know what's going on anyway. So,
well, Andy has to tell him.
Yeah.
Hey, one other quick thing about the difficult Patriots schedule. Again, it's only week one, but the Patriots slate for this year did the worst, tied with Arizona's slate. They won four games.
Yeah, but Jets was a 10-9 game. They played both those teams as two playoff teams and maybe one of the more physical games you'll see all year, so. It's not exactly a fair comparison.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, okay.
Miami won, so is that two wins?
Four games,
yes.
What's that?
The Jets had
Baltimore
gets a win. The Dolphins get a win.
Green Bay gets a win.
Yeah, whoever the...
Chicago gets a win. There's five right there. I'm not really even giving it any thought
five.
Here. Miami counts
Chicago
for two,
won.
Right?
If you're doing it like that, no, you get more. If you do it, if you count how many times you're going to pay, I'm just saying how the 13 opponents did.
And the Steelers won, right?
Steelers won. There's six. I don't want to let those tricky facts get in the way.
Wow, Paul doing everything for international relations today.
Moving on from Mike in Puerto Rico, he now fights Andrew in the Ukraine.
Mike doesn't call anymore. I'm just
all right. Well,
I'm just
I'll go
busting
and check
chops.
My facts, but I thought for sure they had four, but
Paul calling
I'll
BS.
Go with that.
All right, Sandro.
Andrew, are you on Skype?
Yes.
Okay, good. Andrew from the Ukraine calling in.
That's no, it's Sandro.
Good. Sandro, yeah.
Jason is serving our country up in North Pole, Alaska. That's where he's writing in from.
But not the North
He's
Pole.
With the Army up there. He says, my question is about next week's game. Looks like the Jets' D has taken a huge hit with losing their nose tackle. How will that affect the way the Jets will match up against Brady and company?
That is confirmed, too, Fred.
What?
Jenkins is done.
Jenkins is done for the season, right? They had it on NFL Network with a torn ACL. But what do you think? Like we said, Jenkins went out. Usually within a game, a lineman goes out. Teams can adjust. But once a team goes into a game knowing that Jenkins is out, how will that help or does it help the Patriots at all?
Sure.
He's a very good player who, at times in the past, has absolutely bent over Dan Copen. And had his way with him. I mean, literally, physically went over the top, and you rarely get
just bent him over.
And I'm bad for international relations.
And now you're taking it in a dirty way, but this is not a gay thing. I'm talking about actually physically bent him over backwards because he's that powerful.
And had his way with him.
Yes, not in a sexual way, in a football way. There's nothing gay about it. They're all wearing jock straps.
First of all, why is he the only one allowed to make it sexual about anything?
Right.
But, as soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
And they made a big deal. Remember they lost the tackle in Hard Knocks? I forgot his name.
Yeah.
They were all, the guy tore his Achilles or something.
Right. Yeah, I forget.
It obviously helps when you lose high caliber big bodies in the middle, but I think they looked pretty good last night, and I think they're a pretty good defense without him. They played a lot last year without him.
Theoretically, you wouldn't figure it would be that much of a difference because the Patriots are probably going to throw first, just like they did
but
Sunday.
He does push the pocket.
But he's not going to be on the field a lot is my point because they'll probably be in nickel situations and sub packages. But he is a very, very good football player, and anytime you lose that, you know there's going to be times where it's running situations, and he's not going to be out there.
Yeah. Speaking of dirty. Everybody seems to be playing the game of taking what John Gruden says and turning it into dirty stuff. Have you ever heard this?
No.
The Twitcher and the Rich on 98.5 in the morning, they have a whole segment where they take what John Gruden says and make it dirty, and now everybody's doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what does he say?
Can you give me an example?
I can't.
Because all I ever remember him saying is this guy.
No, but he has a way of like, you know, oh, he really got into that hole and, you know, and when you play it alone.
Producing these shows, Andy Hart.
When you take it out of context, it really does sound like he's, you know.
And I'm the immature one.
Yeah.
This is real radio.
Couldn't you do that for anybody?
Right. You could, but I guess he.
You just did it for me. I was talking about the game of football and a nose tackle overpowering a center, and you go, you think gay guys are having sex.
If anyone knows, eating your salad.
Right. I mean, she's talking about salad.
If anyone knows what I'm talking about Gruden, right?
If anyone can help.
I know what you're talking about, Fred.
There's no doubt in my mind that if I had said that same thing about Chris Jenkins, you would have said that to me.
No, when it's time to talk serious football, I'm all about football, Paul.
Well, Paul's favorite quarterback's on TV right now.
There's a time and a place.
Despite the fact that Capello refuses to believe I was there, Fred, I still do listen to that show.
The right. Toucher and the Rich.
Yes. Let's see. Lyndon writes in.
Johnson?
No, Lyndon from Colton, California. He says, were you surprised that Bolden was able to put up 100-plus receiving yards on the Jets? Before the game, I thought they would put Revis on Bolden for the entirety of the game, and he wouldn't do much. I actually sat him in favor of Malcolm Floyd on my fantasy team. I looked at the regular season box scores from last year, and from what I can tell, Wes Welker was the only guy to get 100-plus yards receiving on the Jets. What can account for Bolden's success? I would assume that Welker got 100-plus yards because Revis was responsible for Moss. Do you have any idea why Bolden was covered by Wilson and Cromartie for most of the second half?
Because they didn't match up.
Yeah, and in Bolden generally lines up outside, I think. For the most part.
He doesn't go in the slot sometimes?
I'm not saying he never goes in the slot.
See,
but
right there, that's dirty. You're going in the slot.
I think that he normally lines up outside, and that whichever side he's on the outside, is that corner would cover him. Welker is never on the outside, almost never anyway.
Yeah.
He's usually in the slot, and it's going to require – and I don't think they put Revis in the slot, as far as I can tell.
After watching this game, I actually felt a little more optimistic about the Pats' chances against the Jets Sunday. It seems they might – have some success if they can get Moss, Welker, Tate, and Hernandez all on the field at the same time. Although if the Jets were focused on shutting down Ray Rice, and that is why the Ravens were successful at passing, we might still be in trouble.
Well, I just said this on the TV show. We were talking about strength versus strength, weakness versus weakness. And after week one, I think you have to feel better about the Patriots' weakness, the defense, than the Jets.
Yeah,
I thought their offense was inept. Now, I know they went up against a good defense, but I thought the Patriots' defense went up against what we thought was going to be a decent offense that would have, you know, some versatility, run the ball, a couple big play receivers. So I think you should feel a little bit better after the weekend about the chances in the new Meadowlands Stadium.
I thought that the Jets' offense would be better than the Patriots' defense. And certainly in week one, that was a blowout the other way.
And they certainly thought it was going to be better because all you heard in Hard Knocks is, when you know, we can score, we can do this. Right. But you haven't seen it yet, so maybe you can't.
Haven't done it.
Oh, I love it. I just love it. Chris from Toronto.
I love it. I just love it.
Don't worry, guys. You can always change the name of the show to Fred and the Chipmunks in Progress. Actually, it was pretty funny couple of minutes there, particularly when Andy started talking extra fast. I think my office windows almost shattered. Did you watch any of the first Monday night game last night? Of course we did. The Jets were pretty much as advertised. Cocky, overblown, and undisciplined on defense, and one-dimensional and unimaginative on defense. I think he meant offense.
Overblown cocky?
That being said, I think they're going to be better on Sunday afternoon. I believe the outlook you guys had for the Patriots in this Week 2 showdown prior to the start of the season was not very good. Has this outlook changed at all in light of what we saw from the Patriots on Sunday and the Jets last night?
Sure. Why not? I'm not going all in, but you should feel a little
certainly
bit better.
If the Jets had come out and scored 21 points
on the Ravens.
On the Ravens, I would definitely be picking the Jets.
And if
next
the Patriots
week.
Had come out and given up 52 to the Bengals.
I'm leaning to the Jets, and I think that it's an early game, and I know it's so early in the season.
Yeah, lose two games in a row at home, that's unlikely.
I think there's going to be
it's unlikely.
Big time. I mean, now, there's a lot of pressure that goes with it.
Sure.
But it's a big time desperation game for the Jets.
You're considering it more, right? Yeah, I mean, you have to feel better about the Patriots
based on week one?
Okay. I think that's all he's asking.
Based on week one, God, it's a blowout.
But,
I mean, the Patriots were so much better than the Jets in week one.
So it closes the gap. I mean, generally speaking, when it's a tight game, you go with the home team.
Oh, I'd love to see the Jets have a losing record this year.
No, That's in no way related to the comments I made.
I know, but I'm just...
I don't think it's out... I mean, I know it sounds silly. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
It wasn't out of the realm of possibility last year.
I really think that this
if
is...
If this offense is, in fact, as bad as it looks...
Stinky.
Yes.
Right.
And what ends up happening is fat mouths like Bart Scott
right.
start talking about right. the offense.
Right.
Tom Jackson.
We're doing
say,
our job.
Let me right. get this yeah. straight. They hate their offense.
Right.
Right. And that's right on the edge of... You know, I don't see that happening here. I don't see three straight 38-point, you know,
right.
defensive performances and Brady sitting there saying, geez, you know, we're putting up all these points and we can't win. I don't see that ever being possibly a problem here if the defense suddenly regresses from week one. But that's a big-time concern to
sure.
me in New York.
Dave in Alexandria, Virginia. Guys, what can I say? The Patriots look fantastic on Sunday. The Jets crashed and burned on national television, including a key injury to their D-line. And the Colts seem to have lost their edge. Give it up for Fred. This truly was his weekend. I wonder what kind of... And then he just kind of fades off there. And then he picks it up. I have to admit, my stomach dropped when the Bengals tested McCurdy on the first play. But he pulled through, made a great play, and set the tone for the defense. For the first half, I was truly impressed. The offense was in sync. The linebackers were constantly moving and adjusting. And every time the Patriots tackled someone, there were a few extra guys jumping in to help. Awesome.
Certainly Chung would fall into that because he had some plays where I thought he hit late. I thought he speared.
Love it.
He seems Rodney to Harrison. Walk that Rodney Harrison line between when did the whistle blow, when did the play end, yeah. and when are you hitting him?
Guys, put me in Fred's camp. This season, I'm casting away my usual doubts and ramping us up to dominate the AFC. Number 6 and 10, number 9 and 7. We're winning at least 12 games, taking the East in a landslide, and taking back our damn reputation for kicking ass. Bring on the Jets next week. We need some more asses to kick. Love it.
What was the 6 and 10?
I don't know.
I don't know. Other than the number most associated with you.
Not anymore. I told you I'd let you know. Now I think
well,
they're
what is
a
it
good,
now?
Solid 9-7 team.
See, I'm sticking with my 10-6.
I'm sticking with my 9-7.
Since, in my mind, that was one of the games I had them winning. I had, you know,
I just think
nothing's
it's
changed.
I still think it's going to be a roller coaster. I think there's going to be games where we're going to be saying, wow, do they look young and out of place and undermanned and all that.
And there's going to be games where it's not quite clicking.
Right,
you know, offensively, the way it was early and late on Saturday.
Because as much as I say it's great that we got the single play here, here, and here, if you take out three or four single plays, then you lose those games. So if you take away the Hernandez.
I hate playing that game, though, because you don't know what else they would have done if they hadn't had those big plays. You know,
I do.
Now, I'm not talking about the returns. I'm talking about
no,
the I'm plays.
No, like Hernandez's
play,
Hernandez,
and
Guyton's play.
That becomes a drop. If this
yeah.
It snowballs. So yeah. as much as it's yeah. great to get the plays. They're not Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, Mike Vrabel. I don't assume they're going to get the play every week yet.
Like, I don't just...
They're good young playmakers.
A lot of people, they'd say, well, you scored on defense, you scored on special teams, they subtract 14 points.
Right.
You can't do that, because if Brandon Tate kneeled and took a touchback on that kickoff, they have the ball on the 20-yard line.
Right.
They may have gone 80 yards and put the game away 31-3 just as well as they did.
Yep.
You can't just take points off the board because they get a return.
Casey's in Milwaukee, but he says he's formerly of Conway, New Hampshire. And he says, I just wanted to hit on a couple of points around the NFL. Let me know what you think. One controversial, one stunning, and another great for Pats fans. The big controversy of the weekend comes with Calvin Johnson's touchdown. Boy, you should have heard Paul this morning. I have heard ever since watching the play go down in a bar, everyone screaming about how it was a touchdown. Bears fans are calling it a touchdown. Arguments about backyard football, the ground not causing a fumble, and smell tests have been appealing to the emotional side of fans. But let's break this down. Calvin Megatron Johnson goes up for the ball, arm locked with the defender, manages to get both hands on the ball, both feet firmly down, palms the ball, butt hits the ground, hand rotates the ball, play spiked as he goes into a celebration. The only problem is that he did not maintain possession through the ground, and all he had to do was bring the ball back up to his chest to leave no doubt that possession is maintained through down by contact. Now, if the rule were changed to only 2 feet, knee, butt, elbow, knee to touch the ground for possession for a completion, then any time you have a diving catch with the ball coming loose in the open field, a fumble would have to be called. The rule makes sense. The call makes sense. It was a mental mistake by Megatron. First, we'll take that one. What do you think? Paul?
I just disagree with the not the rule. I disagree with the interpretation of the play.
Yeah.
I think he did everything that the rule asked him to do.
Yeah.
I think he did complete the act of the catch and was getting back up, and matter of fact, was actually on 1 foot back up. He had fallen all the way to the ground and had 1 foot on the ground getting back up. The other foot was about less than a second away from being back up, too. He was celebrating.
Yeah.
I think he put the ball down on purpose.
It looked like he was going to do
that. I mean,
that,
if you want to make fun of him, I mean, obviously, you know, Calvin Johnson's not a Patriot, so we have to make fun of him. Megatron, that what we call him?
Yeah,
or Megatron. Is that his nickname? Am I
don't know.
Unhip on that before I...
That's a good nickname.
Maybe that's his nickname, so I apologize
that's
for being...
That's from Transformers. That's good.
I apologize for being unhip.
Megatron,
I don't know if that's
right?
his nickname.
You should know that.
But if you want to criticize Calvin Johnson on the play, I think he was celebrating, and maybe he shouldn't have, and that cost them a touchdown.
Yeah.
But the way the rule is interpreted, I read all of the explanations on NFL Network and ESPN. I completely disagree. I think he met all of the requirements that they mapped out in black and white. I think it's not about the rule, although it's ridiculous that that rule exists. But I think this was not interpreted properly. What was he supposed to do? Take it home to the locker room with him?
Right.
Would that have, you know, and I made a comment to Andy, and I don't know if this is true or not. What do you guys think?
It's not true.
If you had a situation like that where a guy caught the ball and he's on the ground, let's just say he's still on the ground and he had the ball in his hand like that. If you're a defensive player, shouldn't you jump on him to try to knock the ball out?
Right.
That makes it an incomplete pass, right?
I guess so.
I take the risk that they're going to call a 15-yard penalty in that situation. I might knock the ball out. It's incomplete.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Now, that's picking on the rule.
Right.
I don't think the rule was interpreted properly in this play.
Okay, real quickly, this is still Casey. Wes Welker coming back and having two TDs in week one makes a re-listen of the podcast before the Ravens game in prognostication of Welker never coming back and maybe seeing a shell of his former self in December is vintage PFW doomsaying.
How amazing
is his return? He missed all of 7 quarters of regular season football.
Are we saying we were the only ones on that?
Well, you said that he would never come back.
And I was wrong.
Yeah.
I said that.
The day
he stepped on the OTA field, I said he won't miss a snap of the regular season. Unlike other people who said, PUP, this, that, all blah, blah, blah.
The day
I saw him on the practice field, I said he won't miss a single snap.
Yeah, I was wrong. At the end of the Houston game, I thought for sure PUP to start. Now, the one thing I'll defend us a little bit about, I'm not sure. I mean, yes, Wes Welker caught 2 touchdowns on Sunday. But that wasn't the old Wes Welker on Sunday.
He says it's not.
He's the first guy to admit it. He averaged 8 yards a catch.
Right.
That wasn't the old Wes Welker on Sunday. And it remains to be seen if that guy comes back.
Finally, the Jets. Jenkins is done for the year. Sanchez is looking real dirty. And their running game looks impotent. Nothing would make me happier than a shellacking of the Jets this Sunday.
That would be both, Casey.
Yeah.
That would be entertaining. And it would be entertaining during the game. And then it'll be entertaining afterwards, because if they go 0-2, new stadium, home, losing to the Patriots,
It's a big hole.
Oh, boy.
It's a big early season hole to climb out of.
Boy,
You've lost the division game. You've lost 2 home games. Huge, huge game for the Jets.
Hey, PFW guys, great game on Sunday. The Pats O looks in sync. Have to give props to Fred's pick on the KC San Diego game. He hit the nail on the head.
You did pick Kansas
about
City.
The Chargers not getting out of the gate early in the season. I picked the Chargers, but you, Paul, said, well, you know, that's not a bad pick because the Chargers are slow starters. I think you said that.
I don't even remember my own crap.
You picked everything from Paul, so I'm sure he did.
I didn't pick the Chiefs
without saying I agree with Paul.
I had the Chargers as one of my knockout picks.
If the Lions had won, which they should have,
well, I had that one.
I would have gotten all my upsets right.
What other upsets? Well, you picked Houston. Well, no,
I picked Houston.
What else did you have?
Because
I was the only one who picked the Colts, so he can't really give you that one. I was on an island on the Colts.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'd have to remember my picks to be able to join this conversation.
I had Detroit, and they got screwed.
Dave in North Park, looking forward to the Pats playing Revis and Butthead and the rest of that cartoon show. How do you think the Pats' run game will stand up to the front 7 of the Jets' D?
If Fred Taylor's out there, I feel okay about the running game. I'm not saying he's going to have a huge day, but I think he will get productive yards.
I think it could be one of those deals where the Jets are so intent on getting after Brady that they allow some runs. Yep, that's why I actually gave the Patriots the nod. when they run the ball. I think that they will be quietly effective running the football.
That would be huge. Aaron,
but
from
the huge thing is if they're effective throwing the football.
I think
that,
if they
that's
can
how
be
you
effective
have to win.
Running, they will be effective
if they
passing.
Sack Brady 17 times, but they rush for a positive day, that won't look good.
Yeah. See, I thought they were quietly effective running the ball in the Meadowlands last year, but they couldn't throw it.
The length of?
Easy.
Aaron writes in, well, the air is sweeter, the sun is shining brighter, and it's a good day. Love watching the Ravens stick it to those blank bums last night. Poopy bums. I cleaned it up. And if the Jets play like that against the Pats next week, I believe our boys should win decisively. I think our D should hold up to that offense. LT looks old, Green looks inexperienced, and Sanchez looks anywhere but downfield. Now the Jets D looks real good. Okay, really, really good. But if Todd Heap can do what he did to those LBs and safeties, I think Gronk, Hernandez, and Crumpler will do the same and maybe better. Randy will be taken out of the game. We will run the ball for a yard here and there to keep them honest, and Wes will have moderate success against the baby daddy DB. Who's that? Oh, Cromartie.
Antonio Cromartie.
Pats win 20-10. So that's what Aaron says, 20-10.
Agreeing with you, Fred. If you score two touchdowns, you win.
That's a reasonable score, I think.
Especially if you can prediction. Get one on special teams and one on defense. Then you don't even have to do anything on offense.
Let's see. Todd wrote in while he was waiting for, as he says, the computer monkeys to fix the stream. First off, about the PFW show, the opening makes me think you guys might be fighting crime or in between putting out the newspaper, the lock up a perp or two.
We do it.
You know, I guess we look like guys hanging around the
water cooler.
Yeah, detectives something.
Wait, our photos? You mean the stills? Or?
No, the opening segment.
I think we're badass.
Oh, the opening, he said.
So if we look like badass, then yeah, that was the intention. We are badass.
I really like the Fred Kirsch just walking by and getting into an argument segment. Reminded me of his old house when Bob Vila would find a hidden breakfast nook. And what's up with Paul lately always wearing the same shirt as the other guy on the show? Is he stalking them hoping to get more gigs?
Wait a minute. Just why isn't it me wearing the same shirt as you?
I guess on other shows, have you been doing the same thing?
Oh, yeah, you did do that with Reese on All Access, the live edition. On what game was that?
St. Louis.
Paul, you need to get some like really weird shirts to make sure nobody will wear what you wear.
Yeah,
the idea on TV.
I wear a lot of blue.
Yeah.
And by the way, to the TV people, you had the worst shirt because white is terrible on TV.
Yeah, they specifically told you to not do that anymore. Stop that.
But seriously,
all have three different shirts today. We're good.
Seriously, I love the new show format. I think it ties the paper and the radio show better together with the TV show. And thank God they lost the host. He was getting in the way.
I agree.
And P.S. 42
hey,
minutes and Chris Ferrer stinks.
Oh.
What he says.
Well, he goes way back.
I don't think it was the original. Wasn't Chris's fault.
Never is.
James in Pittsburgh.
This is a no-fault state, huh? Because these guys, it's not my fault.
I think it was IT, to be honest with you.
It was you.
Don't blame me.
Do you think that if the Jets fall behind significantly that they would start to play dirty, maybe taking cheap shots at Welker's knees or late hits on Brady? What do you think?
What was it? I missed it.
No.
Do you think if the Jets start falling behind, they start playing dirty? I think they don't wait. I think they play dirty from the opening whistle.
I think if the Jets fall behind, that their defense might be dirty against their offense. I think Paul's right. That is a ticking time bomb if that offense doesn't come.
Watch Bart Scott. You see him throw the football last night?
What they need is a special in-season edition of Hard Knocks.
Yes. Yeah. They should be doing that because it's tick-tick. It's zero to hot Perillo in New York.
When McGahee scored his touchdowns like 6 seconds left in the first half, Bart Scott picked up the football and whipped it across the field.
I mean,
it reminded me of the Monday night game a few years ago.
It's going to be an issue.
Oh, and did you hear that Ray Lewis snubbed Rex Ryan after the game? And Lewis said, I got nothing to say to him. He's on the other team now. He's one of their coaches. I have nothing to say to him.
I'm fine with that.
I like it. I love it.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it both ways. If Rex Ryan snubbed him, I wouldn't care.
It's too bad.
Well, I would think it would be classless as the loser. The winner can do what he wants.
Can you imagine if
I'm just saying the two personalities, not based on that specific game. I don't care if people don't. You are on the other team, and if you're going to play up the rivalry as much as you do and the talk, I don't want to just flick that off. I want to know that you really do have a rivalry.
It's like those presidential debates, and, you know, all week they're killing each other, and after the debate they're shaking hands.
Right. I don't like that.
Right.
It's like, I think Ocho Cinco does it the other way. You know he's playing it up from
right.
the beginning
of the
week.
He's just kidding around. He could care less. He's slapping the other coach in the ass on the sideline.
He
it's a gimmick with him. It's like, it's just boxing. You know, it's promotion. It's
right. Yeah,
wrestling like.
It's Ric Flair and Roddy Piper.
Yeah, twice you've used that this week. Good job. Yeah. Speaking of which, Ocho Cinco and T.O. apparently hosted Raw on Monday night in Cincinnati. And it was some funny audio that came out of that.
If I was them, I would have considered, you know, backing out of that gig. You know?
Why?
I think they should be concentrating on football instead of, you know, following each other into the locker room, tweeting, reality shows, hosting wrestling matches. They have a job. They're professionals.
I don't know.
I would be
when you're off. You're off.
I really feel for Marvin.
Unless
Lewis.
You're like drinking and drugging,
Marvin Lewis.
That's a little
Marvin
different.
Lewis.
Why is it any different that they go? Say they go to a concert. Brady goes to concerts here at Comcast. Who was it? Coldplay or somebody he loves. He goes to the concert. And
sorry.
Why is that different than they go, but they actually pick up a microphone and say a couple funny things in front of the audience?
Marvin Lewis must think that he'll never get another job because he should have quit this one a long time ago.
What is okay with you in terms of the
Patriot does?
Well, I'm wondering because the Patriots do a lot of stuff like that
right.
during the season. They just went to the MMA thing.
That's okay.
The what?
The MMA event.
That was before the season started.
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
It was before the regular season
game.
The
season started on Sunday.
Okay.
So they've never been to anything during the season.
I'm sorry.
They've never been to Red Sox games. They've never been to concerts.
I'm the one with all the rules.
Was during the year, right?
Right.
Only regular season rules apply.
Name the guy on the Patriots that has a reality TV show, tweets every other minute.
Darius Butler.
Hosts, you know, wrestling matches. You know,
I don't know if any of them have hosted a wrestling match, but the other stuff they do.
Bodden and Butler I got.
Goes around doing everything that they're doing. Come on.
Well, not everything.
All right, just out of curiosity.
So now we're Terrell Owens
defending
is a cancer.
I think he's a cancer, yeah. But not because he was at Monday Night Raw.
More because he just walks off the field and is a diva. You know? It has nothing to do with attending a show.
Let me ask you this, Fred. Do you have a problem with Randy Moss being on SportsCenter today? It's during the season. The season already started. Season started Sunday, you told me.
That's different. He was on the phone talking to
SportsCenter. We know why it's different. But it really is.
Oh,
isn't.
Come on. Now you're comparing anyone to Ocho Cinco and Terrell
Owens. No, I'm not comparing.
Come on.
First of all, I don't compare Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens. I think they're two totally different things.
I do, too.
Ocho Cinco, to me, I would take in a heartbeat. T.O., you couldn't pay me enough to have him.
But I think that, you know, when you're on a team, when you have a chance to be good, you know, they won the, you know, their division.
You would think you'd be worried about other things other than Capital One Investments.
Absolutely.
Online internet banking.
Absolutely.
No. That's what I would think. No. That's what you're saying, Fred. You'd have other things on your mind.
He does one thing, Paul.
I don't have any problem with what Randy Moss did today. You seem to.
No, those guys that I'm talking about are doing more than just one thing. They're doing everything but focusing on football.
How do you know?
Everybody does an appearance here and there.
Well, I just think
every player
to criticize one for it and not somebody else, I think it's inconsistent.
I can't believe that you're putting what Moss did this morning, a call in to ESPN.
I don't have a
problem
with
it. Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens have been doing for the last 6 months.
First of all, you just said the season started Sunday, so forget about 5.5 of those months.
Okay, what they did
Monday night. You said Monday night you had a problem
with
what
they did.
So what
does that matter? Does it matter whether they go to a wrestling event or whether they sign autographs at the local restaurant?
You think there's a problem if Brady and Moss went to Monday Night Raw in Boston
all those other things, yes.
No. Forget other things. Let's just take this. You just said you think they'd have something else to worry about Monday
night. Right, right.
That was you had a problem with Monday night.
When
not with their histories. You had a problem with Monday night.
If it was just that, I wouldn't even be considering
it. That's not what you said. But
It seems like they're doing everything but get ready for football.
Okay, you don't Monday believe night. That? Monday night, you said
that's just the latest thing, Paul.
But what the season just started. That's what you said.
Paul, come on. Are you really going to argue with me about this?
Fred, this has nothing to do with T.O. and Ocho Cinco.
That's all I'm talking about.
Andy, exactly. What did he say?
That's all I'm talking about.
That's not what you said.
I'm talking about
You said you think these guys would have something else to worry about.
Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens.
But not because of their histories, because of what they did Monday night.
No.
That's what you said.
Oh, my God.
Now you're changing it to they tweet, they do this, they do that, they have a reality show.
Again, if it was...
Fine, all right. You know what? They should be stricken from the league.
If that was the only thing, I wouldn't...
They shouldn't even be allowed to be in the NFL.
I'm talking about... slapping Belichick on the ass. I'm talking about tweeting all the time.
God forbid someone should try to entertain the fans that are paying $500 to be at the stadium.
I think during the game,
the entertainment I would get if I was a Bengals is winning the goddamn game instead of slapping the other coach in the ass.
Yeah, and that's why
I want to be entertained.
Right. That's why Chad, if Chad had not gone to Monday Night Raw, yeah, maybe he would have caught 15 passes instead of 12 the other night.
I cannot believe that.
You're right.
I cannot believe that.
If I were Marvin Lewis, I would kick him out of the league. You're absolutely right.
I cannot believe that you don't think that would be annoying to Marvin Lewis,
just
all the
once,
things that they've been doing.
Just once, I want to have an argument with you where you start saying something and you finish saying the same thing.
I am saying the same thing.
That's all I ask for.
In the
dead middle, you start talking about T.O.'s reality show when your whole rant was about you'd think they'd have
obviously
something better
have
to do Monday night than go to Monday
because
Night Raw.
It's a buildup of all these things,
but
Paul.
But that's not what you said.
Oh, my God.
Now you're turning it into all buildup of everything.
Do you think that I would even be thinking about this if this was the only thing that they did or he did?
I would hope not, but you said that's what you thought. They would have something better to do Monday night.
So Paul's going to take that one little thing and not know. It's unbelievable.
Screw you guys.
It's unbelievable.
Just once, I want to have an argument with someone and know what I'm arguing about.
So let's just say that I didn't say that, and I'm talking about all these things. Would you agree with me?
With what? I don't know what you're talking about.
All the antics that they've been doing off the field. Would you agree with me then?
Chad Ochocinco, none of it bothers me at all. T.O., I don't want any part of him.
Well, they're both doing it together.
He rips locker rooms apart. I don't have any problem with the reality show. I don't have any problem with tweeting. I don't have any problem with Monday Night Raw appearances. I have a problem when you make fun of your quarterback. That's what T.O. does. I have a problem when you make fun of your team. That's what T.O. does.
Right.
There's my differentiation. I don't care about the other stuff.
What about when
Darius Butler can play for my team anytime he wants?
What about
he tweets incessantly.
Right, and that's the only thing he does. But what about when they run off the field before the half is over?
Chad Ochocinco had a shoe off and was going in to get treatment.
Why?
T.O., for whatever reason, had to follow him. I don't know why.
All I
know is he didn't have a cleat on when he went to
I can't believe you don't. If you were the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals,
Pete Rivers went to the locker room in the middle of the game too.
You wouldn't be annoyed with all the stuff that these guys are doing.
What Chad does?
Both of them.
No, you asked me a question. I'm very. Am I on? Did you shut me off?
I think they shut you off.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
I would have all kinds of problems with what T.O. does. I don't think I am.
But they're doing it together, Paul. They're like Batman and Robin.
But I don't have a problem with Chad Ochocinco
and
tweeting.
And this one over here, smiling, he won't get involved, Andy. Well,
he's above
because
it.
No, I want to get playing back. It smart because he knows that you did change your argument and then you'll explode.
Can I just have a replay of Paul saying blah, 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 and you go, exactly, no, when you found out he was talking about Moss instead of the guys you thought he was talking about. It was very entertaining.
I mean, can you compare what Moss did, calling in and doing a Capital One promotion, to all the things that these guys have been doing?
I think a lot of players do a lot of things on nights and days off.
I know.
All I can tell you
I think Chad Ochocinco just happens to be high profile, and the event
and
he chose,
funny.
Vince McMahon wanted him as a personality to host a show. To me, that's no different than spending 2 hours at a local restaurant signing autographs because the WEEI water boys are in town.
If T.O. had a post-game press conference after a 38-24 win and said what Randy Moss said, how do you think he would have taken it?
Fred, would you like to rebut?
I don't know. I don't know the situation.
Of course you don't. Let's move on.
I'll tell you the situation. He's not a Patriot. Let's go with that.
Even Randy Moss today, you know what? He said it about four different times. I came to New England with a lot of baggage.
He did.
So it's just like the situations are very similar.
But since he's
Chad
been
Johnson,
here,
they're all,
he doesn't
they're
carry
similar.
On like they've been carrying on.
But he
on.
Just did. He just carried on.
Well, he had that one moment where you said he melted down.
And you had
no
problem with
it. We're talking about a bunch of stuff that these guys have been doing. I can't believe that you're not getting that.
I don't understand what the Chad Ochocinco stuff, how that says he's not playing football.
I'm talking about.
By all accounts, he's one of the hardest working players the Bengals have ever had.
He sleeps at the stadium. You ever seen those where he actually sleeps in the conference
room? I don't understand why that's such a problem to you. I don't understand why you can't differentiate between him and T.O.
It's a problem when they come out and they lose. That's a problem.
But what could he have done to help them win more?
Maybe try to get T.O.'s head in the game instead of carting him along on all these appearances.
Now he has to worry about getting everybody
Maybe else. Marvin Lewis doesn't want to quit that job because he ain't ever going to get another one.
Maybe.
Did you ever think of that?
I just said that. Maybe he thinks he's not going to get another job because he should have quit this one long time ago.
Because he's not that good of a coach.
Maybe. But you
he's got a lot of talent. And he's had a lot of talent for a long time in that
and
team.
He's been, I think, saddled with a lot of, questionable characters on that team. Now, whether that's his decision or the general manager, it's been a tough situation for him. You wouldn't agree with that?
No, I don't think it's all that tough to coach talent.
Okay. What if the talent is not in the right mindset?
No, but there's questionable talent here, right? I mean, Randy Moss was brought here as with baggage. Corey Dillon was brought here with baggage, and part of the reason they succeeded was why.
We're not going to compare Marvin Lewis to Bill Belichick now.
Okay, well, but that's kind of the point. He's not a good coach. Belichick's a good coach.
He actually just kind of summarized my entire argument into a nutshell. We can't compare those guys to these guys because these guys are Patriots.
Right. But, oh, so you are going to compare Marvin Lewis to Bill Belichick?
No.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't understand
why. Thank you.
Why should. Because his accomplishments pale in comparison.
And his ability.
But why. Wait a minute. Why is that okay? Why, if I'm Mike Brown, is it okay to say, well, I don't want to compare my coach to the best coach? Why is that okay?
Well, why is it okay for Mike Brown to keep bringing in these guys that he has to deal
with? That can play?
Can T.O. play?
Yes.
You told me about 4 hours ago that you think he's done.
I think he's on the way down. Much like I think about Randy Moss.
Well, but we're not talking about Randy Moss
Belichick
right now.
But Belichick is getting a lot out of Randy Moss.
But he can play.
Randy Moss is not getting a lot out of
T.O. So now you're saying Randy Moss can't play now?
I didn't say he couldn't play. I said he's on the way
down.
You
said this morning that T.O. can't play anymore.
I said I think he's on the way down. Oh, he's done.
No.
Yes.
You said he's done. Right. Yeah. Is Randy Moss done?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Now, Paul, now you don't even believe your own stuff. You know you don't.
How many times have
you
I said
that Randy Moss is done? That's well, right up there with 6-10 from Andy Hart.
He's done being Randy Moss.
What did I do? I'm just sitting here letting you guys argue.
I have to drag you into this somehow.
How many times in the offseason have I said I wouldn't want any part of re-signing Randy Moss?
You did, but not because he's done this.
But you know what?
I don't
want him back because I think he's going to go out and catch 15 touchdowns again every year. I don't think he's that guy anymore. I don't think he's a clutch player. I think he's never done it in the playoffs. I don't think he does well down the stretch of seasons. I think he's done being Randy Moss.
But is he done being a quality receiver?
Well, T.O.'s not done being a quality receiver either.
That's not what you said this morning.
Fred, I'm exaggerating to make a point.
Okay, well,
He caught 7 passes Sunday. Is that done?
Then I misheard you. Because
grabbing the ball, he caught 8.
You certainly came right out this morning and said he's done, period.
All right, he's done being Terrell Owens. That we knew, okay?
Talking about parsing words. And here's the guy that's changing the argument.
Well, then I guess Wes Welker is done, too, because he only caught 8 passes.
Those are your words, not mine.
You never
thought he was good to begin with.
Neither did you.
Wes Welker?
What did he have, 4 touchdowns?
Oh, come on.
You
I'm the one
him.
That staunchly defended him when they overpaid to get him.
And then you mocked his value when he was knocked out of the lineup.
Not me.
Yes, you did.
Not
now
me.
You're full of crap because you mocked his value.
Not me.
You thought there was very little loss.
What did he have? 4 touchdowns?
Right.
That's not going to make a difference. That's
not
what you said.
Disparage the man's contributions for 3 seasons.
I don't think that you guys want to be talking about anyone disparaging anybody.
At least I own up to the stupid things I say. You lie.
Well,
and I'd like to say that we owned up when he was in the studio, and I said, what do you think about being called a nice little player? We said it to his face.
And by the way,
I never heard you say.
Because I never thought he was.
And I was. No, wait a minute.
No, when he was then lost, we then said we thought it was a huge deal that he wouldn't be on the field against the Ravens. And you said, what did he have, 4 touchdowns?
And by the way, I'm the one who has been the most critical of Welker. I wasn't involved in that interview, if you recall. We didn't have enough microphones with he and Castle. When you brought that up, I came over and specifically said, by the way, I was the one that said that.
It's great.
Have you told him you think he's not very valuable because he only had 4 touchdowns last year?
We were talking about that game, and I was saying they could overcome that loss.
Sometimes you say stupid things. You should own up to it.
I said a dumb thing when I said I would take Antoine Smith and Rohan Davey or whatever
I think
I'm credited with.
I think our listeners are I refuse
I
to join you.
I don't know why you think I'm miserable.
You will not suck me down into everything but Patriots.com.
Here he goes again.
I won't do it.
Here he goes again.
I won't do it. I believe in the coach. I believe in the quarterback. They're pretty good. I'm glad they're on my team. I don't defend everybody else except the Patriots.
I don't defend anybody. All I can tell you is
except Terrell Owens.
I'm defending Terrell Owens. This is what I mean. That's exactly the opposite of what I said. Exactly the opposite. And you can make yourself feel better with all your little smirk comments, but you're wrong. You changed an argument dead center again. And I can only be thankful that the listeners know that you do that because they write in all the time.
Okay.
They say, Fred did it again. He got Paul going. He did it again by changing his argument.
Don't laugh. Keep going. We might get him to swear. He might swear.
I mean, anybody can win an argument if you fight both sides in the middle of it. That's what you do every day.
Where's the TV cameras when you need them?
This would not be good TV.
All right. We're not at
certainly
the end
wasn't
yet,
good radio.
We're getting the close. That is good radio.
That's
Paul.
Horrible. You just lied. You just lied in the middle of an argument.
I lied. Now
that's
he's calling
horrible.
Me a liar.
You said that you didn't say that about Welker Andy had to coax it out of you.
Let's I don't know if we can get the tape.
I doubt it.
What did he have? Four touchdowns? I never said that.
We were talking about whether or not they could win, beat the Ravens without Wes Welker, and I was saying they could. I was wrong.
We're talking about his value.
We're not saying whether or not they could have won or not without Wes Welker.
Wait a minute. I mean, come on.
Wasn't that valuable? Was your point?
Because, Paul. Really?
Oh, so not all the outrageous things are to be taken seriously? Just the outrageous things that you say?
All the things I've said about Wes Welker should not be taken seriously?
So when I say that T.O. was done, that means he should never step foot on the NFL field. But when you say that Wes Welker's not that valuable, I shouldn't take that seriously. I get it now. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. When you have hyperbole, it's not to be taken seriously. I do it, I'm the bane of existence.
I
understand
the
now.
The bane of existence.
I understand now.
I don't think I condemned you like that,
No.
I might have happened to agree with you.
I was supposed to be Greg Brady. My exact words were to be, I said T.O. was done. That means he should never step foot on a field
again.
I
actually agree with you this morning.
I think that he's done being Terrell Owens, not done being an NFL wide receiver.
Okay.
Well, I think Randy Moss is done catching 23 touchdowns. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to make a couple of big plays here and there, but not consistently ever again.
He only did 23 touchdowns once, and, so, yes, he is done doing that.
I think he's going to be that guy.
He might get 15.
I don't think he will be.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
He might get 10, and I'd be happy with that. I think that's not done, catching 10.
Well, T.O. might catch 10, too, but I think he's done. That's all.
No. If that, then
they're done being the guys they were. They're done being the difference makers that they were.
If T.O. catches 10 touchdowns, we'll both be wrong, because I agree with you. I think he's done. I don't think he has the speed or the burst that he used to have. Your words this morning. I'm agreeing with you.
I think he had plays in that game
that
3 years ago he would have made and turned into big plays. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Much like I think 3 years ago Randy Moss was gone on that inside move on Jonathan Joseph.
But I think as much as Randy Moss might have diminished since the all-world Randy Moss, he's still an excellent, one of the best receivers in this league. So he's not done. Terrell Owens is done.
Okay.
Are you two done?
We already said all of that twice.
I don't know what he said, He was – Terrell Owens wasn't done.
I don't know.
It was okay that Moss was doing something on SportsCenter, but it wasn't.
Pretty much regardless of what I say here is going to
– No, Paul,
elicit
it's not just you.
It's going to elicit mock laughter from you.
Everybody gets it.
Did Randy Moss get his way, though?
Well, wait a minute. Are you talking about criticism?
You said everything I do on this show, everybody gets made fun of.
Oh, I don't care about that in the least.
Yeah.
The criticism that we get from the listeners?
I get criticized all the time.
But I don't care about that. Okay. I'm talking about the dismissal laughter that you will give.
Don't laugh.
And you know exactly what it's...
I don't know what
there
it's
it is.
About.
There it is. That's it. Thank you. I don't care. Listen, you can't put opinions out there if you're not anticipating people disagreeing with you.
Right.
That's part of the...
I do it all the time.
Our listeners are fans, and we know what you think of
the
fans.
No, but you know how... They're stupid. But you know how the whole... the whole thing with athletes and people, we've criticized Brady in the past. Listen, part of the package when you go out, you're a famous person. Well, on a ridiculously smaller scale, when you go on the radio and you talk, part of the package is people are going to criticize you if they don't agree with you.
That's right.
You have to take that. That's part of your job.
Right.
So I don't ever care about that. Sometimes I think they're wrong and unfair about it, but that's, listen... Mike in Puerto Rico, we had a big argument that time a long time ago, the 0-hot. That's part of the game. That's what if you can't deal with that, and we have a member of this show who may or may not be able to deal with that, he's not here today, you can't do this. You can't do this.
Otherwise, it's boring.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you need a good argument.
And you need a good argument.
I said good argument, by the way, guys.
Right. That's why I said that's not good radio. When I thought I was arguing one thing, and then all of a sudden it was about Twitter and reality shows.
The one
came
snippet
into,
where
I
Fred
know,
was agreeing with you until you got to the end of the sentence and said Randy Moss. And you go, whoa, no, that's right, not what I said.
Because a Patriot came up.
But just for Moss, I think it's interesting that today, his whole offseason thing, he wants to maximize his on and off field. And the first, he has a controversy. Then he's on SportsCenter saying the words capital in one.
Makes me
think it's staged.
If I want to
this is closer to WWE than Ocho Cinco?
The cynical guy in me likes to think the whole thing on Sunday was completely orchestrated
to get on SportsCenter
in preparation of his thing today to talk about Capital One.
Capital One Bowl Week.
All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW Crossover.
We can
just wait a minute. I will do it. But we can't hold on.
We can't
hold on.
You've dropped enough balls in your life that we can't just assume with you.
Hold on. I wish you'd get some.
Should I take that one?
That one was intended to be a double entendre.
All right, that's going to be. Let me start again. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Coming up next is John Rook with the playbook. John.
Fred.
What do you got for us today?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Okay, thanks.
That's,
that'll be
that's like an Eric Scalabino practice report. You guys pay him? Can I get in on that deal,
oh,
too?
We
don't pay
God.
Much. That's what I
you
thought.
Got
I don't really like him either. So, anybody heard anything the latest on Chris Jenkins?
He's out.
Done,
fire.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Done.
Yeah.
D-U-N.
NFL Network says
why is there a little part of me that's just kind of cackling underneath?
Well, I'm not.
Because you and Fred
I don't
are both miserable
that's
men.
Obviously
no,
what Fred
look,
does.
Look,
you do the
Paul,
same thing.
Look, I know I lie
types.
All the time, according
yes,
to
you
Paul.
Do.
But
you do
I didn't say all the time. I just said
but,
you lied about that Welker thing.
Even when he was younger with Carolina, I was always a Chris Jenkins fan. I always thought
this
was going to be his year.
Built kind of the same way.
I don't know if people heard me. If other than injuries, if he had a healthy, I think he'd be a Hall of Famer.
He's got a shot. He would have a shot if he was healthy.
I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for anybody that has a seasoning and injury, especially when it comes early. I mean, anytime anybody has an injury, it's tough. But, you know, it's just the nature of the beast, I think. I heard you say earlier, though, that you would not bring back Randy Moss?
Not for $10 million a year.
Not for $10 million a year?
If I could get a, you know, what was the contract that the listener
had?
2 years, $10
million. 2 years, $10
million. With incentives.
So $5 million a year, I would do it for that.
Okay. Somebody asked me the question, would you do it for like 2 years and 15?
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, I think I would.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I could eat enough of that if I had to. That
I could think about that too. But I just don't see him taking a pay cut. I don't.
What do you think he's going to look for, realistically?
At least 10.
I think he probably wants 3 years.
Yeah.
At least $9 million. I mean, what
yeah.
he take? Would you give him the extra year for less money per? What do you think he'd take that?
What are you talking
like
about?
Like 3 years money. And say $27 million.
Oh, I think he would take that right now because
that's a continuation of his current pay.
Yeah, he would love that.
I think he would accept it. I think he'd sign on.
He's 34, 35 years old.
He'd be with Brady. He could win. He could market. My question would be, has his production dropped off, you know,
no.
Ostensibly to where it would warrant a big reduction in pay?
No. That's the problem.
Then I'd say
only when it
3 years, 27.
But
let
the
it
numbers,
rip.
The at the end of the day, numbers still say he's elite.
Yeah.
And that's what
oh,
he's going to highlight.
3 years, 27, let her rip. Let's do it.
I can't argue with
you
that.
You wouldn't be scared if you were the Patriots to do that?
The numbers say that.
Corey didn't drop off either until he dropped off, and then they kicked him off the team.
Well, but, you know, this is the one area, you know, I think we've all had, you know, some thoughts about how maybe we're starting to question some of the football minds upstairs a little bit, you know, for their player personnel.
I'm out. John Rook here.
I'm just saying we're all entitled to our opinions, whether they're right or they're wrong. We're all entitled to our opinions and glad to be able to have those opinions here. But the fact of the matter is there has not come a time where you haven't questioned some of the moves that have been made personnel-wise.
Sure. Right, sure.
We all do. All the fans do. That's what the nature of this business.
You can't hit on everyone.
No. That being said, you know, this team, the one thing that I do believe this team does well is they know when a guy's at the end of his rope. They know.
For the most part, I would agree.
They know.
They
I
also
think
once
like
they
to do
have
it
a, guy,
a year early rather than a year
I think,
late.
I think okay. once they have a guy, they know
Seymour
what
may be
got.
The only guy they yeah. haven't quite figured that one out
but
yet.
But again, right. I think they did it a year early. They got value and decided we can take this chance. We're not going to be able to re-sign him, all that.
Right.
I think they do things a year early sometimes.
Well, that may be the case here. And I will guarantee this, that they won't offer Randy if they think he's done after this year is over. That's for sure. They won't.
Well,
you know,
I agree.
They don't do that.
And
I was thinking
John, you sign him to, you know, a 2 or 3 year deal.
Yeah.
But you have a deal with him that say, look, we're not going to guarantee years 2 and 3, but if we cut you, we will sign you to a marketing deal with the team where you stay with the team and do things for us.
You know what? I think that sounds great in practicality. He's not going to want that.
No, probably
because
not.
He wants to play football. He
not
said
sure
that.
It's legal
he
either.
Said that in his
do
diatribe on Sunday.
That?
What?
To the
and
Patriots
do the
want
yeah,
that?
And
oh,
do,
are you kidding me?
What
yeah,
they?
I'm asking.
What are they? What's his
biggest
I
issue
lately?
I think fans love Randy Moss.
And really?
Wait a minute. The biggest you don't think fans love Randy Moss?
The player, gala. Yeah, but the person?
That's a great question, Fred. I will open it up for the playbook.
Oh,
do you love Randy Moss?
And how much do you love him?
I think they love the player. I think they love the player.
Yeah,
I'm not
even sure. Yeah. They love the number. The two touchdowns, the three touchdowns.
I don't know. I see a lot of the emails that come in, and they're like, you know, Randy's great. He should talk more. When he does, he's great.
Well, he's entertaining.
You know, he's so personable.
There's no question he's entertaining. He just needs to get rid of foot and mouthitis. That's all.
Yeah.
Did you hear him on SportsCenter today?
I did not, but I heard that. I saw the transcript.
Much better.
But because he had a chance to prepare.
But he was
Plus, he was there for Capital One, for God's sake.
Which is why Paul
and by the way, I also
on the podium the other night for Capital One.
I also think that you're right about that.
Totally orchestrated.
This was totally orchestrated to draw attention to him.
So was T.O.
When
NFL
people
Network
say,
be destroying him.
That's exactly right. When people say, oh, Randy's coming on SportsCenter today, they're like, oh, well, he blew up after the game. Let's tune on. Or let's tune in or whatever, you know? And
well,
so
you don't
I
think that this
totally
was planned
think that was orchestrated.
A couple weeks ago?
Absolutely.
I think it was orchestrated.
It was.
Absolutely. This is all orchestrated.
Totally orchestrated, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
But all not since last night. Not since Sunday
night.
Think
Moss was going to be on?
No, I think Sunday night was orchestrated.
Orchestrated. Yeah.
Sunday night was
today.
Orchestrated
for today.
For his sponsor.
Oh, you think so?
Hit today, yes.
Oh, then he's smarter than I thought he was.
Sort I think of. Randy's pretty smart.
Yeah.
I think Randy's pretty smart.
Further proving my point.
I think he's a pretty smart guy. You know, I agree that, you know, his mouth gets in the way of, you know,
what's in your
his
wallet?
Brain. Yeah, but he's no dummy. He's no dummy. You know,
are you
hasn't
giving
he
me
been,
okay for the way what he's done over the last
Yeah, it
years?
Doesn't detract from the
hasn't
team.
He
All
been
right,
complaining
that's
about
be, we got to get going.
Come on, I'm just getting going here.
Yeah, we
now you're on your own.
We
Good
have
luck.
Other things.
Okay.
All right, so fine. John will be with you. He'll keep you company for the next 2 hours. We'll see you tomorrow.
Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
No, God, no!
Patriots.com Radio.